Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Claire. News flash. Episode 1 of Talking With Cancer launches 25th of May.
And what can people expect?
It's the first time we speak since I found out I have cancer. And it's all about my journey up to diagnosis. There's still so much that's unknown. The doctors seem confused and everything is very complicated.
We talk about how you've decided to face it head on and what a positive approach means to you.
And I realise Talking With Cancer is for everyone, because everyone in some way is impacted by cancer.
You might know someone with cancer or have questions about cancer, or might also be dealing with a diagnosis of your own. We hope you'll join us on the 25th of May for our first episode.
See you then. Oh, that's my alarm. That was really bad time. That's my alarm to take my pill, which I've done.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Oh my God.
Is it really you? That's what I want to know. Is this, are you Melania Saddam? That's what I need to know. Is this a doppelganger? Because actually this person is better looking than the Brian I know.
You know why? Because the Brian you knew was so stressed out on this trip for so much of it that all he could muster down was half a banana, basically. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't say you look skinny. I said you look gorgeous. I did not say you look skinny.
You know what? You want to know what I'll do? You know what? Do you want to really know the truth about my skin right now?
Yeah, I do actually. What's the, just tell us the filter and let's move on.
Well, American Express.
Oh.
A credit card company.
I'm familiar with their work.
Okay. So they had a deal at like 24S or Mr. Porter, one of these things.
Sure. 24S. Okay, yeah.
Exactly.
And Mr. Porter, they had a deal both going.
So I got travel sizes because they didn't want to take my real products.
Yeah.
Bader and Sturm serums.
Oh, I have all the Sturm serums. I never used them though. Which one are you using?
I alternated. All so when I was them, flying, yeah. I used.
They gave them to me. I don't know what I bought. They just get handed.
What?
Me
they gave
a
them to
package
you?
Package of them, yeah. Well,
okay,
I'm a
well, they
customer.
Didn't even come close
I
to
I used their
it
body,
me.
Their anti-aging body lotion, which is fabulous.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean,
well, so
I
use my Josie Mary from QVC. By the way, they have QVC in Scotland and England.
Oh, good to know.
I had no idea.
I almost sent Garode Farrelly right
different.
Down to get you. I almost said he didn't.
I wish
I
you
to tell
would
you,
if he's so
started,
handsome.
He started quaking a little when I told him that you were, you know, nearby. Because I had him on the Patreon. So a few
I know
things
you
happened
did.
While you were gone.
He was saying something about jibs and jabs or something.
Jigs and reels.
I couldn't believe it. And honestly, Rhonda, you nailed it when you said, I just don't understand how the Irish people are that Irish.
Well, when he
something
said
of that
it,
effect?
When he said it as though.
And then he said that people
I
cry at the end
an
of the
expression,
jig.
And he said it as though it was not an expression. It was a real fact.
Right.
You know, jigs, the jigs and reels because da, 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 da.
Because
as
dancing,
opposed to,
and then,
oh, the jigs and the reels. And no one says that anymore from 400 years ago.
Right.
He. No, you know, the jigs and the reels, the ins and the outs. Da, da, da. I was astonished.
Shocking.
But he's going to come on the free feed.
Oh, good.
And have a little catch up with us because you two, there's something
I'm ready to flirt,
going
Rhonda.
On
I'm
for you.
I'm ready to flirt.
Are you ready to
with
flirt?
Him.
Well, that's because you
ready
spent 2 weeks with your mother, so you're ready to flirt. Here's what I want to know.
Donna
what'd you
Karen
bring me?
Cold shoulder jumpsuit. What?
Uh-oh. What'd you bring me?
Okay, well, it hasn't arrived yet, and actually, I don't think you're going to like it, but it's
so
being sent
didn't.
To your house.
Why is it?
Yeah. I don't think
you did
like
get
it.
Me something?
A joy, Rhonda. I had to get you a thank you gift for everything you've done.
For what?
Well, for covering hosting. Yes, but without me, because yeah, I know
but
without
everything
me,
I've done for podcasting.
Without me.
When's my lifetime achievement award for podcasting?
Without me, you're nothing.
You
like, I know that.
And, that's
and
true.
I could
though
hear
Jason Mantzoukas and I had a little fun last week.
I don't want to talk about him.
We had a
John
little fun.
John Mulheiser, I could stomach.
Old friends.
Jason Mantzoukas, I really could. I couldn't hear about the North Shore and that he's the South Shore of the North Shore. I couldn't hear that.
We were having fun.
The only thing I'd like to see did say that I was smart, even though I don't, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't recognize me on the street.
He accused you of, he said I needed to do a full forensic accounting while you were gone.
He said I was stealing. And you
know
what I
really- The best was the quick math, that my quick math was so bad.
12 times 6 was 489.
386.
Yeah. Rana, you're not the same without me. I hate to tell you. Nothing gave me more of a confidence boost than hearing your math go so awry.
Everybody said he's no Brian, but if we can't have Brian, this was fun. That's
Rana,
what everybody
why
said.
Why would
internet.
You tell me? I have no, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He comes on
I doubt
here,
it.
He comes on here and he thinks, oh, I honestly, Rana, I don't even think he knows who I am. That's what makes me think.
He said he did.
And by the way, I would like for him to know that, yeah. And actually Paul Scheer, I'm mad at too, because when Jason Mantzoukas is asked, is out of town or something, I expect to be on How Did This Get Made. I just need to be.
I'm mad because you've been on How Did This Get Made, but I've
so
never
have
been
you.
On How Did, Rana's never been on
That's
How Did
impossible,
This Get Made.
That's impossible,
Rana. Yeah. I called myself Rana. I've never been on How Did This Get Made, which I think is an outrage.
Well, we got
to Jason even went so far as to suggest that I do a Patreon with him where we rewatch Good Will Hunting and talk about it.
I heard that too, which by the way, just because I'm not from Boston doesn't mean I have things to say about it. It's a beautiful movie. And Minnie Driver's performance should have won her an Oscar.
Yes. Minnie Driver 318 years later is talking about how nobody wanted her to have the pot. That
a,
is fun.
And B, do you remember the glare she gave Matt Damon at the Oscars because they had just broken up?
I do. I do.
Move on, Minnie.
Yeah. Rough stuff. So listen to me. Speaking of moving on.
Tell me.
We have a couple of I haven't done any comments while you were gone, and I haven't done any follow-ups really while you were gone. And we have a couple of zing-a-dingas.
Do you know that really quickly one of my guides threatened to slap me across the face until the gum fell out of my mouth? Did I tell you that?
Well, why were you chewing gum?
Okay, so that was his point. I wanted a piece of gum. So I got a piece of gum out from my back.
Chewing gum. They call it chewing gum.
Chewing gum. And I offered him a piece. And he said, and he was like a real royalist.
That's
Queen's
one of my
English.
Jokes with Baby Steve. We only have a couple of jokes because she's only 10 months.
Right.
But we have one of our jokes is.
Does she use a microphone when she tells
when
them?
When we were flying in upper class. When we were flying. She doesn't do stand up yet.
Oh, okay.
When we were flying in upper class on Virgin, they come around and they offer you they offer you a popsicle.
Right.
And they say, ice lolly, do you want an ice lolly? Ice lolly, do you want an ice lolly? So every now and again, I'll say to Baby Steve, do you want an ice lolly? Ice lolly? And she laughs every time because she knows it's ridiculous.
My mom thought I was disgusting the entire time because I kept saying to people like, oh, is there a toilet in here? Or can we use the toilet? She goes, quit saying toilet. Brian, that's disgusting. They think you're trash. And I was like, no, they're trash. That's all they say.
I could not agree with your mother more. I think I have said this for a long time, and you can ask Sir Paul Feig because we talk about this all the time.
It's gross.
Nothing for the people that are supposed to be the classiest of all English speakers. The most disgusting thing they do is refer to the bathroom as the toilet.
As the toilet.
The
it's
toilet
disgusting.
Is the thing you go it's to the bathroom in. It is not the bathroom.
And then someone was making fun of me for saying restroom. Oh, what are you doing resting in there? I go, I don't know. I don't walk into a fancy restaurant and then say, could you point me to the toilet?
To
disgusting.
The place where I can take a dump.
Ugh.
Where somebody just was before me taking a dump.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. The toilet is the device. What's beeping?
Yeah, there's a smoke alarm going off. So I don't know. My mom, I don't know. She's lighting
can
something
you
on
please
fire.
Please go turn it off.
I'll be right back.
Dante, I can't handle this. This guy's out of control. And he also violated the first rule of travel, which I'll tell you, Dante, because you don't know anything about these sort of things. Don't ever, if you go on a trip with someone who's in a different town, don't ever bring them home with you. It's okay if they come a day or two early so you can fly together. But after the trip, they have to fly straight home because it ruins the fantasy of the trip. to then have that person sleeping on your rollaway or in your guest room. You need to be able to go home, decompress, be in your home by yourself. You do not want that person to come home with you. So there. That's some free advice I just gave everybody. Oy. I just gave everyone the advice I should have given you, which is that you never bring someone home with you from a trip. It's okay if they come before for a couple of days and you fly together, but you never bring them home because it ruins the fantasy of the trip.
It certainly does.
The trip is a memory and it should live in a capsule. And then you should be able to come home, unpack your bag all over wherever you want and not worry about, does this person need something in the guest room?
Yep. Yep. Ronna, I couldn't agree more.
You should be able to walk around your house naked, take a bath, and leave your suitcase open on the floor until your housekeeper comes to unpack it.
Yep.
Yep. That's what the guest room is for.
I
put my suitcase
in dry bar
there.
Yesterday. I even took her to get a manicure and pedicure yesterday. It's never enough.
What does she need all that maintenance for? She didn't do any of it on the trip?
Not while she was gone. She didn't. No.
Not one blow dry on that trip? Huh.
I don't think so.
You stayed in fancy hotels. Oh, I couldn't possibly. Okay. So why don't we read a couple of these updates?
Let's do it, Ronna.
And by we, I mean you, because you haven't done an ounce of work in 3 weeks. So
why would I?
Get started.
I was too busy being threatened by guides. By
wait, so what do you mean he slapped the chewing gum? Why did he threaten you?
He said, I put gum in my mouth and started chewing it. He goes, if you were my son. And my mom wasn't feeling that well that day, so it was just me and him. He goes, if you were my son, I would take my hand and I would slap you so hard across the face until the gum came out. By the way, his name is Robin.
Scottish. How old was
Robin? No, he was British.
How old was Robin?
Probably like 60s, 70s. He was retired and he was doing this for fun. And he knew a lot about a lot.
You were chomping.
Not even. I could just put it in my mouth like that second. And
what was the scene? Where were you?
We were in the Cotswolds.
And did you say, I'm so glad I'm paying you £400 a day to talk to me like that? Or
no, but I did say I'd slap you right back.
Did he laugh? Or did he did he mind his P's and Q's?
No, all he wanted to talk about was how horrible Harry and Meghan Markle are and how Anne Boleyn wasn't a slut and he's tired of people saying it.
What does he have to say about Meghan Markle? Just give me that quickly.
He sort of said, I mean, I have to tell you, the two guys that we had who were royalists were so horrified by the entire situation. Horrified.
You mean that she had come in or that Harry had busted up his family?
It was more that they left.
I hope they're putting it on Harry.
They are.
On her.
It was more that they left than it was that.
Well, I thought it was outrageous. As you know, you have to do a job for five. They can't give you a $4 million signing bonus for a job, and then you do it for 6 months. It just doesn't work that way in any profession.
Yep.
Otherwise, you have to give it back.
And then I will say, all the Scottish people could talk about was the disastrous tour of the Caribbean those two did. But the English said, it's not a big deal. Oh, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. Da, 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 da. And then the Scottish were like, we're going independent the second the queen is dead because we have too much respect for her, which was nice to hear, but we're
done.
That's
not really true, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, I will read some of these follow-ups now, Ron. Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm not sure. The other thing is, I'm a little upset you haven't really mentioned, and I'm not surprised because this is your nature, but I did single-handedly launch the AI Social Club while you were gone, and
happened to mention arsocial.club, which, by the way, takes you to the same website.
Please
it's
stop saying that. You're going to drive me crazy.
I don't care, Ronna. I have absolutely mentioned it, not to mention I am so excited to
not
join
a
it,
word.
To be a part of it. Are you kidding me? I'm going to get full-size bottles. I'm going to get new ideas for cocktails, and I'm going to get to talk to everyone over a cocktail hour?
Never mind all of that. They're getting a live event rolled into that. Do you know how much we
usually
charge for a one-on-one live event with us?
Are you kidding me?
By the way, I'm hearing now people are making so much money on Cameo. I'm going to set my price at about, I don't know, $6,000.
Yeah. $6,000?
Yeah.
What about 6,000 shekels?
That's not a lot of money.
That doesn't really probably.
No.
What is that, $200 or something?
No, I can't even remember. It's about $12. shekels. Fun word.
No, Ronna, I am so excited about this.
That's something people used to say about people if they had money. They'd say, he's got a few shekels.
They did. I have heard that.
Yeah.
I am so excited about this. I can't wait to have, especially that we're doing it over the summer.
I know. That's it's cocktail season.
Perfect time.
Sure. It is. And the other, so people keep saying, how many are in there? Here's what they have to understand. It's Go not it. A pre-mixed cocktail.
Absolutely
this is not,
not
what people were doing during the pandemic where you could pick up a bottle of, you know, old fashioned
skinny girl margarita or something. Right.
You're going to have to do a little bit of work. That is part
That's
of
the
fun.
Whole point.
This is a masterclass.
Because you want to impress your friends later.
And you're learning how to be, what does it feel like to be a fabulous bartender? I mix totally. A fabulous drink. Brian tries.
I try.
Usually Ron is the one. Pop Rocks or Crystal Light make their way into the glass at some
point. True. Or I'll just put a lot of drinks together.
Yeah. Pour them all. Whoever left, right. whatever they left.
Whatever's left.
Long Island iced tea. Call it a hurricane, whatever it is.
Exactly.
But that's part of the fun. That's part of what the kiki is learning how to make the drink beautifully, but also having that in your back pocket that someone can come over and you say, okay, just mix you a blank. And I say blank because it's a surprise and I am not telling people. But I will say that the first drink is going to be inspired by your travels to Machu Picchu.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Does this start with a P?
Machu Picchu? Yeah, it starts with Picchu.
Does the drink start with a P?
No,
okay,
it
we can't
doesn't.
Say it. We're not going
to
say
it. It doesn't start with a P, actually.
Oh, does it start with a Z?
No. It starts with a shh is what it starts shh. With.
Yeah, that's right.
So listen, arsocialclub.com or apparently arsocial.club says Brian.
It still works, Ron.
That's his URL. Mine's different. We have two URLs.
That's right. They both work.
You have to sign up by June 1st in order to get the June box.
That's
how
right.
it works because we need to make sure we have, with the supply chain, blah, 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 we have to make sure we have everything perfect for everybody.
And if you sign up for the recurring three, exactly. If you sign up for the recurring one that's every 3 months, you get all kinds of surprises in there too.
Well, it's not every 3 months. It's 3 months commitment and then you can cancel anytime.
Oh, then you cancel after that.
But if you join the club, you join for the first 3 months and then
correct.
It keeps, you know, you're still in until you say, I don't want to be in anymore.
Yes.
And then there is a one-off, which is a little bit more expensive because it's a little harder for us to put together, et cetera, et cetera. But personally, the welcome gift that you get with the club that you do not get with the one-off is absolutely worth
the price of admission.
Yeah. So there.
No, this
and
is
also,
very
pardon
exciting.
Me, you get a 20% savings if you join the club.
Yeah.
It's 20% less per month to join the club than it is to do the one-off. But you
this
know what?
What
it's
we
your
all
life.
Right
live
now.
It the way you want. It's not a
I guess so. But also, like, why don't you learn a few things in the Kiki?
Oh, I can't. No, they, these people don't learn anything.
Well, fine.
That's why
but
they're
all
still
I was
going to
say was they can take this and then who doesn't want to be a fancy mixologist for their friends or their partners?
These people, this is like Scientology courses, but these people never graduate.
Right.
So that's why they're still listening because they're not clear. You understand?
Listen, if you want to get one step closer to ruling your own planet one day and for Z to have a personal relationship with Xenu,
we don't want people to be clear here. We want them to be cloudy. We want them to have a couple of cocktails and get a little cloudy.
Correct.
Because life's hot.
It certainly is, Rana.
But the booze is a full-size bottle of booze. So you may have many cocktails.
You know who would really enjoy this club, but she wouldn't stop talking, is Leah Remini. She would love this club.
Oh, I hope she joins us in the club.
Me too.
Yeah.
Leah,
if you're out there, I always call her Leah. It's probably
Do you know that one time I saw her in a car and her license plate said Leah Remini? You know that, right?
That is the best thing I've ever heard in my entire universe life.
Shocking.
Oh, I also meant to tell you that while you were gone, Melania's back on. She did an interview.
Trump?
Yeah, I think she was worried people hadn't heard from her in a while. So she did an interview where she said she didn't really care that she was never in Vogue when she was in the White House, to which I say, then why'd you bring it up?
No kidding. Yeah, who would just bring that up?
Why'd you bring it up? If you didn't care, why'd you bring it up?
Oh my God. Did you see her at the Bob Baker's puppet theater in downtown Los Angeles?
No. Are
Is that
joking?
Where she was performing? No, I just didn't know she actually talked.
And it's a marionette theater. In
marionette
any event,
okay.
Please start doing your job before I have to find somebody else.
Yes.
I can read.
Okay. We have some wonderful follow-ups. Kimothy 66. Kimothy, that's cute.
Kimothy, friends with Rimothy.
Absolutely. I got Rimothy, how are you doing these days? Kimothy said, what a scrimshish Listen, this is honestly the highlight of my week. I binged every episode on both the free and Patreon feed during the height of the pandemic, and it truly helped me stay grounded. Do not hesitate to subscribe and become a chip. Julie633 said if Oprah and Liberace had a baby. So now that's an insult to my
Who's
face.
Who?
Rana, I'm Liberace, clearly. Sad.
I don't know. I'm the one who likes the animal prints and all the other stuff. So
I guess. And according to this person, I'm the person who likes a facelift 1.0. We have.
Well, I was saying, I didn't know if you had a little work done while you were gone.
I did not.
I don't know. The forehead's looking very smooth.
Is it? Thank you. I haven't done anything to it.
Well,
I think honestly,
whatever you didn't do, keep doing it.
There we go.
It must be the serum.
You know what? It's the sea air in Scotland.
I would believe it, actually. I'll be honest with you. When I'm over there, my skin plumps right up.
So much better.
Yeah.
It's so much better.
Yeah. That's why we're going to do our first live show. Well, we're going to do... What's happening? Has Tony booked us at 54 Below yet for Christmas with Sandra Bernhardt?
Tony, what's the deal?
Or the Cafe Carlisle?
Did I also tell you I went to the gay bar in Edinburgh, CC Bloom's, named after Bette Midler's character in Beaches?
No. What?
Yeah.
Was it fun?
It's the only
You're about
one.
To have that Edinburgh Festival. Why aren't we performing there? What are we
That's
doing?
That's my next question.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Right. Anyway.
I already performed there. It's very
I know
cold.
You did.
Yeah.
I know you
but
did.
But I'd be happy to do it again. I loved it. But I'd have to have a good venue. It'd have to be a good venue.
And I feel like you would give me the
dates.
Position of busking.
Good venue and limited dates. And I'm not doing my own flyering.
No. I'll
okay.
do it, Rana.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
You'll
or Tony,
do the flyering. Yeah.
Or
you'll
Dante.
Do you'll do the flyering and the assless chaps and we'll get everybody right.
And people will walk by and be like, dude.
Why do they call them assless chaps? They're just chaps.
They don't have butts.
Yeah, but no chaps have butts. That's the idea about them.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess they don't put jeans on underneath.
I guess not. Keep going.
And also you're showing your ass, so how could it be assless?
The pants are assless. The ass is not assless.
Right,
the chaps are ass full. That's true.
They're ass full.
Yeah.
That's right. They're absolutely ass full. Julie G.
If you wore a cowboy hat, people would come to our show.
That's true. I'll start wearing a cowboy hat.
If you said yeehaw and you handed out the flyers and said, come see Rana and me, then people would come. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And I would say, if we were in Scotland, I would say, guess what I'm going to do to the sheep? Take all the organs, smash the lungs, and then eat it as haggis.
Ooh, the lungs are in there?
Yeah, something like that. And the rib, you eat it out of the rib cage.
What did you learn that you didn't know?
Nothing.
On the trip?
I'm trying to think. No, I'm sure there was plenty. I'm sure there was plenty. I'm still so exhausted from it.
Was it more fun than our trip to Budapest? Yep. That took a
minute. No, it was just different. It was just different.
Hmm.
But not more fun. All I want to do now is travel with you.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
We have overly wordy questions. They have answers and exquisite opinions on all the finer things in life.
Exquisite.
And even more exquisite guests. They got Bernhardt. Can you believe?
Excuse.
Rana is that rich lady from New England your mom is friends with in college that everyone needs in their life. And you should see the way Brian can work a tennis ball cage tote on those elite California
Guilty
courts.
It is true.
What a delight. You'll laugh, you'll learn, you'll beg for more, and sign up for their Patreon in no time, I assure you. How many podcasts do you know of that have a signature coffee and gorgeous bottled cocktails and soon to be gorgeous cocktail club?
Yeah,
arsocial.club. Other than fabulous Ask Rana. If you haven't pressed play by now, what are you waiting for?
This is my new favorite, that you have a URL and I have a URL. The fact that Tony gave you your own URL is going to drive me up the wall.
He did.
Yeah.
Absolutely love these two magical advisors, says AFergie78. I'm a new listener who feels as though I have struck gold. I'm delighted and enthused by every episode. I started listening after a depressing breakup, and it's been a light in my day. 5 stars. I got to say, Rana, this is what I'm going to say. Mm. When I was having a little bit of a few low moments in Scotland, I'm not even kidding, I would turn on the podcast and listen to you.
Which episodes?
It is a balm. I listened to the John Milheiser one late, but I listened to the last few we did just because I hadn't heard, I never really listened back all the way. And I did.
Yeah.
And it made me feel, I'm not even kidding, it made me feel at home. It made me feel really good.
Isn't that lovely?
It's true.
I did not do the same while you were gone. Next.
Okay.
By the way, for the record, Jessie Klein was a New York Times instant bestseller. She was
she
number
really?
Five on the New York Times bestseller list, and all the other books were gobbledygook above
her. Well, I'm so sorry that she couldn't have given us a free copy. I had to order mine.
Oh, I have maybe about five copies in the main house.
You ordered five copies?
Whenever I have a friend who has a book that comes out, I order 5 or 10 copies, and then I just can them out to people.
Oh, well, Rana, I'm just right across the way. You could just hand me one.
You've been gone. I didn't think you wanted it in your luggage. What do I know?
Well, all I know is I'm reading a book right now that is absolutely depressing, so I could actually use
Jessica. Oh, what is it?
We Germans. Have you heard of this?
No, tell me.
It's fiction, but it's a letter that a grandfather writes to his grandson after his grandson asked really invasive questions about his responsibility in the war as a German.
Oh, it sounds fabulous.
It's supposed to be fabulous. And so I started reading that. It's thin,
too.
Is it
written by a German or is it written by... Is it translated from the German or is it written by an English speaker?
Here it is. How scary is this book cover, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
And it's written by...
Wolves. Alexander Starrett, who's
here. Yeah. So he is German, but he also translates German's works into English, including Kafka and some others. Scottish father, German mother. Lives in London.
Okay, keep going.
Anyway, okay. So, Ree, the grieving widower who won't take no for an answer. Dear, this is...
Oh, okay. Now, you weren't here for this.
Oh, yeah. No, I was here for this.
Were you here for this? Okay.
Oh, yes, because this was Jesse's episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Dear Rana, Brian, and Jesse, oh my gosh, I was so excited to hear you answer. Ooh, my letter on the pod today. So this is firsthand.
Yeah.
You all really hit some nails on some heads. Although I... Although I do own a white jean, I usually wear regular denim and a smartwatch, not bangles.
I love it.
I live in
called
Austin.
It a smartwatch.
Right. So we know
so it's not an Apple. Here's what it isn't. Pardon me. You see this?
It's not the Hermes. This?
Can they
it's
get this?
It's not Rana's gorgeous
Hermes. Can
they
Hermes get this? Anthony, I hope you're getting a video of
this. That is a beauty.
This.
I'll be honest with you.
That's just today's face in today's band. I can change it out however I want.
That's great, Rana. Was it a buy one, get one?
Yeah, it was a BOGO.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm keeping the other one in my drawer in case this one breaks.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll wear it. Does own a white jean, wears a smartwatch, not bangles. I live in Austin, funky South Austin, to be more specific. And
Brian knows Austin well.
That's where my grandparents lived, was South Austin.
Yeah.
And if any of you are in town on the right weekend this summer, I would love for you to be my plus one to the house concert.
Oh, yeah. Remember the summer concert series. That was the reason that she couldn't tell this guy to go scratch.
Oh, well, guess what? It's mostly singer-songwriters, blues, folk, Americana, newgrass. Okay, I'm out. Sorry. I don't need the invitation, that sort of thing. I don't need to hear folk and Americana. We bring our own chairs and drinks. It's always a fabulous...
You know what, though? I'll tell you what, in the right setting...
You're right. If it's a
beautiful
setting...
I like a little
setting,
bluegrass in the right setting.
Me too.
For instance, in the Sheridan Opera House in Telluride, Colorado.
At the Sheridan? Oh, okay.
Sheridan, not Sheraton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's always a fabulous...
That coffee's
evening.
Going down fast tonight,
I
know. Huh?
Well, Rana, I mean, something's got to... I'm still a little jet lagged.
Quick math.
12 times 6, 389. I'm sending a photo of last weekend's show.
I love how offended. You know what? Isn't it fun that I have a flaw?
It sort of is, because I got to say, that was... I can't really...
I'm just I wasn't doing the math.
That
I was
just
literally throwing out
most,
a number.
That was the most black and white time you've ever been wrong.
Yes, but that was the point. I said,
for instance,
blah, blah, blah. I was just throwing it out. I was not even attempting to do the math.
No, I know. You were just saying something.
A number.
Because you got there in the end. You did say 72.
I had to. I had to then go do the math.
Save face.
Jason was so upset. Yeah, go on.
John could not attend, and I was there with other friends who also have season tickets. You asked a couple questions, so I just wanted to answer. First, John is 63. So John is the one who was sort of a pest. His wife died. His wife died.
Yes. Yeah. But also, and I don't know, we'll keep going because there's another piece of information here. But did she say that the wife said, you can marry John when I die? Was that in the original conversation?
We don't know yet. She says, first, John is 63 and I'm 56. Incidentally, the same age as Jill, who I guess was his wife who passed away.
Okay.
Second, yes, I do have options. But most importantly, I'm not needy. This is very defensive. I've been divorced for almost 10 years and I love my life. I have lots of friends and hobbies and I'm very active. I do date here and there, but I haven't yet found anyone who I feel would make my life way better than it is now. So Jesse's theory about whether I somehow actually want this drama in my life, I could truthfully say no, I do not. Is some part of me pleased that I can still attract male attention? I'm sure that's true. And I appreciate that insight, but I don't need to get it from a depressed alcoholic. Oh, she's not talking about Jesse. For a second, I thought she was talking about Jesse.
Well,
I probably... Who knows?
Jesse's more of a wine mommy.
She's a wine mommy. Yeah. I probably do need to unpack that.
Isn't that what they call it?
Yeah.
Wine mommy.
And figure out how to get exactly what I want rather than allow myself to be subjected to this sort of unwanted attention. You're right. I really need to take a look at myself. But that's a whole other letter. Third, I really liked Ryan's suggestion. Are they talking about me?
Who's Ryan?
This has gone too far.
We haven't even gotten to a question yet. We've been catching up for 49 minutes, I think.
I really liked Ryan's suggestion.
And by the way, I want everyone to know I'm going to get in trouble with Brian after this.
You're already in trouble for allowing this letter.
Episode was too long. Yes. Brian's going to say to me, Rana, we've got to shorten the records.
No, I'm not.
Been talking nonstop.
It's been me this time. It's been me.
And I keep saying, let's keep it moving.
I recognize it's been me. Okay. I really liked Ryan's
suggestion. I have it on tape now.
I have never in my life, you know what, Brian with an I is one thing. Ryan is a whole different ballgame.
No.
How dare you? I really like Ryan's.
I'm looking at you wondering if you could be a Ryan, and I just don't see it.
I don't really either.
Yeah.
But I also never really thought I looked like a Brian, so what do I know?
Oh, I think you're a Brian.
Oh, good.
With a Y, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Not a Brian with an I.
No.
You're just not.
I think I'd be straight if I were Brian with an I.
Well, it's like one of the chromosomes, you know, an I That's chromosome true. Or a Y chromosome. You have the Y chromosome.
I really liked Ryan's suggestion, I'll never get over that, to tell John I'm not equipped to handle this. Some time ago, I did research and handed him a list of grief counselors. He picked one and went a few times, but then stopped going, saying it wasn't helping. But I think I can say that again, more forcefully. I am definitely not equipped. That is a great way to say it. And just to be clear, I'm not the only one of our friend group that has been there for John, so I totally agree with Jesse that others can step in. I've also gotten other friends to start saying, hey, give up on Joanne when he brings it up, because he says it to them too. But you're all right. Too vague, not strong enough boundaries. I need to stop being so accommodating. Story of my life. Finally, I didn't want to say this in the original letter because I thought you'd focus on it and think it was too bizarre. But when Jill knew she was going to die.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But when, Rana, the shtetl clairvoyance is at an all-time high. But when Jill knew she was, you knew this.
Yeah.
She actually told John that she gave him permission to marry me. Yes, I know. Bizarre. I loved her, but she didn't ask me if I was okay with that.
Oh, give her rest. She was dying.
One of you said that you believed he doesn't even, I'm with you, that he doesn't even appreciate what I do for him. He just feels entitled to it all. I think you got that totally.
Sorry, she didn't have time for that when she was dying.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I apologize for Jill's ghost.
His wife told him so. I've really had it. I'm reinforcing the boundary starting now. Thank you all so much for your advice. It's been really illuminating. Pam, I'm going to say this. The picture she took of the whatever,
the backyard,
Americana folk
backyard,
the
summer
bluegrass
concert
party
series
is gorgeous. And I would go to that.
Well, I have to say it does look like a nice evening.
It does. It is pretty.
If you were stuck in South Austin for the evening.
Yeah.
I'd like to know whose house that is in the background or whatever that little pergola breezeway situation is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks nice.
Another follow-up from Jason Mantzoukas' episode, which I have banned.
Otherwise
which I banned from the catalog.
A top episode, yeah.
I banned it from the catalog.
Hi, Rana. Just to me. You read my question on this week's episode, and I was beaming with pride. By the way, not beaming with enough pride to put an apostrophe after week's episode. It's possessive.
That's right.
Okay. But I have an update. No, oh, wait. This is my favorite. This is from the woman. Did you hear the whole episode? If you didn't, I'll just refresh.
I haven't yet. No, I haven't yet.
The woman wrote in. She said she's been on one date with some guy. She works with her ex-boyfriend, it's not her fault, she has a government job. Does okay. she have to tell that guy that she works with her ex-boyfriend?
Got
and
it.
We said, you've been on one date. I suggested she lean out a little bit instead of leaning in.
I think that's probably good advice.
She said she's from a tiny town. She's 39. This seems like there's some promise with this guy. I said, you've been on one date. And we also said that the only reason you would ever tell him is if things progressed and you were going to be in an event together and you might say, right. just so you know, I used to go out with Jerry, but whatever. Yeah. Just wanted to let you know. I'm probably not going to speak to him. You know, what can I do? I work with him. It's none of my, you know. He happens to work where I work. I can't yep. do anything about it, but there's nothing there. But she was really sort of getting a little bit ahead of herself. Hi, Ron. You read my question. Okay. But I have an update. Guy ghosted me. I thought Sucks. He wanted to go on a second date because he brought it up twice on our date. But silly me, I guess. Well, it's not silly. He brought it up twice. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to say Ugh. That your advice was great and made me look at the situation differently, which will be helpful in the future. I plan to, quote, lean out a little in general now. I think it will save me a lot of trouble. I just Smart wanted to move. Thank you for your advice. You and Brian have become friends, in parentheses, in quotes, that have helped me a lot during bouts of depression. And wow. further, Jason Mantzoukas is saying my Ugh, name God. Was all I needed, mm-hmm. really. Thank you, Rhonda.
And you're Rana.
Rana. Now, Rhonda, forget about that guy. Who cares? Move on. Da, 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 da. Who cares?
You know what really offends me, Rana?
What?
That previous letter writer who called me Ryan didn't call you Anna.
Anna. Yeah. Ryan and Anna and Ryan.
It was clear how little.
Well, she was in a little bit. She was in a bit of a snit when she wrote that letter, but she was trying to still be nice, and she couldn't quite get that tone. Now, the next update is only you're not going to believe who this is from.
Cannot believe the eyes
came back the very next day. Yes,
head. This is a year in the making, at least.
At least. This could be 2 years old. I'm not sure.
You don't even know how upset I would have been if I had been out of town for one more week to miss this.
This isn't, this update's for you. There's no question.
This, everybody, if you are familiar with the greatest hits of the show, then you are familiar with the question about the man whose partner's uncle poured red wine
in their puppy's dog dish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out. Outrageous.
And laughed about it. And everybody laughed about it. The whole family laughed and laughed and laughed. Thought it was great.
Hello again, Ron and Brian. I was recently listening to a newer episode of your show when you, Ronna, hearkened back to my previous submission. We'll never get over it. About my partner's uncle pouring red wine into our pug puppy's water dish at Thanksgiving. So insane.
But it was funny.
I know
funny.
Exactly what
it
this uncle
It wasn't funny,
like.
But it was funny.
He's the artful dodger to me.
Yeah.
Just wanted to drop a quick update.
Oh, this uncle is Kate. William and Kate is Kate's uncle. You know, she has that uncle who's...
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of a mission.
Gary maker. Goldsmith or something like that
Absolutely.
Is his name. Yeah.
He's the one. Yeah, he's the one. Yeah.
That's who did Maude this.
Maude is thriving. I guess it's the dog. And still a gorgeous shade of vanilla. She even has a little sister, an all-black pug named Tippi Hedren. While this recent addition to our family, I'm sure Tippi would be so honored.
Probably.
While this recent, she loves animals. While this recent addition to our family is not being attacked by birds per se, she
it's
is
a
certainly
Hitchcock reference.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. She's certainly chasing them out of our yard on a daily basis.
Okay.
In any event, after several years,
leave the writing to the writers.
My partner, excuse me, Cynthia Dupree Sweeney is not going to listen to this one. My partner and I have been able to let the dust settle on this Thanksgiving kerfuffle. Rana, you were spot on with your advice regarding my inability to ever change my in-laws. The good news is that I never even tried.
That's given. Yeah.
The pandemic afforded my husband and I some distance from this incident and subsequently the family. The distance allowed his family to actually miss us.
Subsequently.
Here
we go again.
The distance allowed his
family to actually...
You didn't
ask anybody when you were in England, what's the proper way to pronounce that? We've been trying to figure that out for 3 years now.
No, I didn't. I just went around saying to every English person, you're wrong, you're saying it wrong, you're wrong. Sort of did that a lot.
Yeah.
The distance allowed his family to actually miss us and also sit around for some time convinced we had written them off. We always stay in contact, but there were boundaries. And if those boundaries were not respected, they were notified. If my family's
notified.
If my husband's family were made to feel like they were on eggshells with us for some time, you wouldn't hear me complaining. Brian, you mentioned in the original episode that it would have been comical to watch my husband and I charge into the room and make a scene after we found the wine in the water dish. I don't mind telling you that we were actually the calm ones in the scenario. Looking back to that day, most people in the room were expecting a blow up when all they got was a series of questions and a brief statement of how this behavior was unacceptable. That's a Rana move. And it's an effective one.
Mm.
A couple of years
later. Wait, what's a Rana move?
Just like not to blow up, but just a couple of well-placed, practically rhetorical questions about why someone would do that.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
A couple of years later, the relationship with my husband's family is noticeably better. I accept what I cannot change and make a... They're just putting Diet Coke in there now. I accept what I cannot change and make a conscious effort to not position
Chocolate
myself.
Milk.
Exactly. Between my husband and his
grape
family.
Grape milk. They're putting grape milk in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Kind of grape just kill dogs. I can't remember.
Wine-flavored milk.
Yeah.
There was a slight hiccup this past Thanksgiving 2021 where they seemed to have forgotten we were in the house, set the table for the meal without providing seats for us.
What?
And started eating a solid 30 minutes before we even knew they had begun. But like I said, what am I to do
here?
And my husband's...
What?
That is so crazy. That is
Wait,
so crazy.
Like you said, what am I going to do here? They hate your guts.
They hate your guts.
Hiccup.
They hate your guts.
Hiccup.
I wouldn't say
that's the most deliberate thing I've ever heard.
Horrible.
They set the table. It wasn't a buffet.
And then started eating for 30 minutes.
It was a buffet and they said, oh, there's food down here whenever people want it. That's one thing.
They
didn't
set, the table,
set you
eating.
A place and you were staying there.
In my husband's defense... My family, well, by the way, it's not your husband's fault that they did that. In my husband's defense, my family is nuts too, but have never served our dogs wine or forgotten to invite us to the table at Thanksgiving.
Wow.
The two of us have the ability to laugh at the absurdity of these
they
events.
They didn't forget. I just need to
oh,
underline
no, that,
that
you're
that
absolutely
for you.
Right. No, it's
it
worth
was completely
mentioning again.
Deliberate. I just want to make sure you understand that.
This was a deliberate over and over again.
It was
you don't
an attack.
Accidentally pour wine in a dog dish, and you certainly don't accidentally set a table for 10 when you know there's 12. That's crazy. The two of us have the ability to laugh at the absurdity of these events after unpacking the presumably toxic family dynamics across the board. That keeps us sane, this emotional levity. To wrap up on a lighter note, I would be remiss not to mention the stone-like nonverbal reaction my mother-in-law receives to this day each and every time she asks, oh, you didn't bring the dogs? She's great. XOXO, Preston. P.S. Rana, did you see that fabulous revival of Cabaret in London with Jesse Buckley and Eddie Redmayne? Probably no. Did you, Rana?
No, but I want to know whether you saw anything about the.
I didn't. I tried to get tickets to two different shows that were like completely sold out. One was the, oh my God, what is it? The one that What's His Face is doing from Bridge of Spies. I'm so embarrassed. I can't remember his name.
Mark Rylance.
Right. Couldn't get tickets to Jerusalem. And then the other show
he's
I
doing
wanted
Jerusalem
to see,
again?
Again. Yes, it's supposed to be still fantastic.
No, that's too much.
And the
sorry, that's too much.
The other show I wanted to
see. I saw it in New York. It's too much.
Oh, you saw it?
No, I saw it when it was the time to see it, I saw it.
And then the other show.
And it was terrific, but I don't need it again.
What was the other show? It was playing at the National and I can't remember it.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, so I didn't go.
Okay.
And by the way, I'll be honest with you. I'm sure that version of Cabaret was brilliant. I really never need to see that show again. I know it pretty well.
I never saw it the first time, I'll be honest.
I've seen
with
it
you.
Like five times and I'm good.
Weimar, Germany, not my thing.
Right.
Just going to come out and say it.
Yeah.
People are going to find that upsetting, but it's true.
And I think Jesse Buckley is immensely talented. And I think Eddie Redmayne. So are you ready for the questions?
I am.
Okay.
He's something to look at, isn't he?
Oh, well, he loves playing any sort of like
AC/DC.
And I'm sure he was the host, right? That was his thing. The master of ceremonies and cabaret is what I'm assuming.
I assume, but I
And he loves to do anything that Alan Cumming has already done. He loves that.
Sure. Alan Cumming is racing across the country with Ari Shapiro. They're everywhere.
I know.
Yeah. Doing oi and oi. Och and oi or something like that.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Okay. Listen to me. We've got to get to these questions, Brian. That was a fabulous. Look, I will say this. I'm delighted it's just the two of us today and that we were able to catch up.
Because that was wonderful for a
We have a lot of business to get off the books.
We do.
And it'll be the same on Patreon. We have a million follow-ups on Patreon, too. And the Patreon carriage house, I got to tell you, is exploding right now.
It is alive and well run.
We have so many new Patreons in the last month. I want them to start sending us those letters again. AskRon@gmail.com. Write to us and introduce yourself. Please keep it to one paragraph.
And you know what? Get in while the getting's good, because we are, I think now, Ronna, the only place that has not raised prices because of inflation.
It is true. It is true. And it's coming. It's not coming this minute, but it's coming. So if you want to lock yourself in, this would be the time. I will say that.
We are the dollar store of podcasts.
What an absolutely horrible thing to say to a person.
Are you ready for the first question, Ronna?
Well, I hope you're going to cut me a cut of your attitudes, Patreon, because, you know. I'm struggling to stay alive over here, and you guys are raking it in hand over fist.
Not true, but I appreciate the thought. Are you ready for the sound of your life? Here it is. I love that sound. It makes me smile. It honestly is the bells I want to be played at my funeral. It's just that sound, because I'm very rich, honey buns. But that sound is actually the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstart, startups, established businesses alike can sell everywhere. You can synchronize online and in-person sales and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibilities. Believe me, this podcast started out selling, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I think we put Gwyneth Paltrow on a shirt, maybe. And today, we are a mega corporation selling coffee, selling Negronis, selling our fabulous cocktail club. And we're not stopping there, because success is a million milestones on a forever evolving path. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed, from down the street to around the globe. We can testify to that. Like mine, Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. Reach customers online and across social networks with ever-growing suite of channel integration and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. You can gain insight as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. Go to shopify.com/askRonna, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. We all need this. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/askRonna right now. shopify.com/askRonna. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify.
Just announced, Brian and I will be joining the fabulous Wild Horses crew at Dynasty Typewriter live, in person, pardon me. I mean, it has been years. On stage at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles, May 29th, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We can't wait. And don't worry if you know we're near Dynasty Typewriter. You can stream the show live at MomentHouse.com. So all the info is at MomentHouse.com for streaming and DynastyTypewriter.com for tickets. We can't wait. Attention Carriage House members, Ronna here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Dear Ron O'Brien and respected special guest, they're not here.
No, they're not.
I'm writing to you from the West. We could get your mother to come on the microphone for a minute if we wanted a respected special guest.
She'll just say good riddance to everything.
I'm writing to you from the west coast of Australia, where every Tuesday morning I bound out the door for my daily walk, daily dog walk, with the enthusiasm and excitement only a freshly dropped Ask Rhonda podcast episode can bring.
Wonderful.
I love the image of that, I have to say.
Me too. It's a sweet image.
Your endless supply of wit, charm, and well-considered advice is a true gift for which I'm eternally grateful. So, I'm turning to you as the givers of such pearls of wisdom to help me with a dilemma involving a different kind of pearl, one that is not so pearly white, exclamation.
Ooh.
I am very happily married to a gorgeous man. We have been together for 16 years and have enjoyed a loving, respectful relationship full of good times and laughter. How lovely.
That's so sweet.
It was the happy-go-lucky, fun-loving nature of my husband that first attracted me to him, and still does. He laughs and smiles more than anyone else I know, never lets things get under his skin, and has an unwavering, sunny-side-up attitude to life.
How annoying.
That's exhausting. My issue is that although his smile reveals a mouthful of very straight teeth, one of his front teeth is pale gray.
Ugh.
The result of a teenage surfing accident. That's what happens.
Oh, sure.
If the nerve goes dead, right?
Yes, that's right. I don't even think you can whiten those.
You can't.
Yeah.
All you can do is replace it or cap it.
Right.
It completely ruins his smile. It would be such a simple fix and one that I regularly suggest he undertake. I tell him that it would be such a great return on the investment due to the fact that he smiles so much, and he simply says, "Yeah, yeah, I'll get around to it one day." Oh no, "Yeah, yeah, I'll get around to it one day," but I suspect he never will. I'll have to work on that a little bit.
It was pretty good.
I need a few more words to get my Australian going. I need to say, yeah, yeah. I don't know how they say, "Yeah, yeah, I'll get around to it one day."
The only words, Australian words I can say are like, no, because it's just N-O-I, noi.
No.
Yeah. And.
Noi.
Right.
Is that how they say it?
No.
Yeah. How do they say yeah? Yeah.
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah. Like that, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He looks after his dental hygiene and has no phobia around the dentist. Our dentist agrees that he should get it fixed. But I think he just doesn't see his gray tooth as an issue. He isn't tight with money and will happily spend large sums of money on furniture, gifts for others, clothing, or another vintage surfboard to add to his extensive collection. If I spent money from our joint funds on some cosmetic or dental work, he's very happy for me. Furthermore, we recently paid, she gave me a number, I'm not going to say it, I think it's a little gauche, but a high number for our 14-year-old daughter's braces, and he could see the value in spending the money to give her a gorgeous smile. Now I'm not asking him to get pec implants, Botox, or brighten his teeth to an unnatural color to rival Simon Cowell's. I would just love to see his big smile reveal a mouthful of teeth the same natural soft white color. Any advice you have that could encourage him to finally take action would be greatly appreciated. Or am I just being superficial and distracted from the important things in life? Should I just let it go and get on with being happy? How do I stop myself mentally photoshopping in a matching white tooth every time he smiles at me? Oi. Kind regards. Whoops. Kind regards. Please don't use my name.
Oh, beep.
Beep, Dante. Make sure that gets cut.
That's going to be a big beep.
Yeah.
And I hope that the beep, if there's any way to make it a car horn, I would like that.
uh-uh, I want it to be a, but it, I want it to be a clown.
Ooga, kind of ooga, yeah.
So it goes, uh-uh, uh-uh, like that.
Make that the beep. Okay, here's what I can
clown car.
This is what I want to say.
Yeah.
First of all, she doesn't say which tooth it is, does she?
Front tooth, one of his front teeth.
Oh, she did say one of his, I wonder if it's the bottom or the top.
What do you mean?
Only I want to know. I'm not saying
it's one of his two front teeth.
So the top.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Let me make sure I read that again.
Because I was going to say a gray tooth from a surfing
accident. One of his front teeth is pale gray. So it's the two front teeth.
I think there's something about it that is actually kind of sexy, especially that it came from a surfing accident. However,
so does he.
So does he. Men, and I'm sure women too, I don't want to be binary,
but
they like to wear their wounds. Mm-hmm. They like to tell people how it happened, when it happened, how they got out of that situation, which was not an easy situation to get out of. They could have drowned.
Eaten by a great white shark.
Exactly. They surfed on a shark back to shore.
Correct.
He chipped the tooth on the when he was punching the shark in the face and it rammed its nose into him. Yep. However, he's
not
done
that
all
he
these...
tripped on an untied sneaker and smashed on his board on the beach. But
Or that he like was walking back to shore with the surfboard and he slipped and fell on a rock in the ocean. Or that, you know, he was enjoying a nice rare steak that had a bone in it while he was surfing. And
The point is, I'm sure there was a T-bone involved. Yeah.
Definitely. The point is this. Or he was, you know, some people, if they're missing a rib, can give themselves their own blowjob. You know, he could have, I don't know how big
could
we're
have
talking.
Been anything.
Could have chipped his tooth.
Yeah.
The point is this. He's done all these nice things for you. Why don't you set up the appointment, tell him you want to get that gift it to him, and just make it happen. You talk about all these gifts he's given you. What have you done for me lately is what I'd like to tell her. But here's the thing. I don't understand if this has been such a problem. And
16 years. She's known him for 16 years. She married him.
So wild. It's like, I get that quirks. Because you know what? At the beginning, I bet she did think it was kind of sexy and hot.
I know.
Because you don't go on a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 10th, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
10, 8, 9, 11, 12th. Yeah.
13, 14, 15, 16, and then suddenly have a problem with it. Unless it's like with every relationship, the cute quirks become unbearable and you want to smash their
face. That's not what
in.
The problem is. Yeah. She does want to smash them, but that's not the problem.
That's my piece of advice is you get it done yourself. A, B, he likes it. Rana, you tell me. You've been married for a long time. Or you were.
Now you're divorced. I agree.
Is it divorced when someone dies? Widowed.
Divorced from reality.
Right.
A different reality. Alternate. Right. Bob and I are still together, but just on different planes now. He's on the celestial plane and I'm on the earthly plane.
God, Ron, I've never heard you talk like that.
Well, technically he's on the oceanographic plane, but.
That's true.
In any event, here's what's going on. Brian is completely correct in that. He doesn't mind. It reminds him of his younger self.
He thinks it's sexy.
He's still collecting vintage surfboards. There's a part of him that likes to think of himself as a beach boy, big surfing, Chris Hemsworth's cousin, Australian.
Totally Hemsworth. Totally.
Et cetera, et cetera. There's a part of him that likes to see himself that way. And the tooth is a connection to his youthful self. Okay?
Yep.
It bothers you now. I have bad news for you, dear. Here's why it bothers her. Because they're older and they're richer now. And they're grownups. And she thinks the tooth makes him look trashy, basically.
Like an older person with a sagging tattoo.
That he doesn't have the money to get his tooth fixed. She thinks that everyone who sees him at work, in his business, etc., thinks that guy's not successful. Because if he was, he'd fix his tooth. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of an upward mobility issue here. And by the way, she's not 100% wrong about that. This is why people straighten their teeth, because it's a thing, And you can look, I can get 100 emails about teeth shaming and da 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 da. Sorry, I didn't invent teeth straightening. It's something people do, not if you're English, but it's something people do in order to appear. It's something they do because they can, because they have money.
Right.
There's a reason that why they want their 14-year-old daughter to have straight teeth and to go into this world with a wide, bright smile. And for a lot of people, it makes them feel more confident. So what? If they want to straighten their teeth, let them. If it's a thing people do, great. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting into the politics of teeth straightening. Thank you very much.
You don't have to, Ron.
I'm not going to do it, Brian. So don't try to drag me into it.
I'm not going to. I'm not.
But the mother also thinks, now we've got this daughter with braces and straight teeth. We have a beautiful life. All these things he spends money on. We're doing great. Why can't his smile match where we are in life? And I hate to admit it, but I have a little bit of embarrassment and shame about the fact my husband has a great tooth. I don't love it.
Right. She's probably like standing next to him at events being like, please don't smile.
When we were young and we were trying to make it in this world, I thought it was fine. And now I don't think it's fine anymore. But you can't really say that to a person because it's ugly.
Yeah.
It feels ugly to say
yeah,
that.
And it's mean. Yeah.
I agree. You can make the appointment. You could say, you know what? You've said 100 times, yeah, yeah, I'll get around to it. I just did it for you. Here's the other thing is that honestly, they could probably bond the tooth. I don't think they even have to replace the tooth, but we'll see.
Yeah.
They could just put a little bonding over it, like when you crack your tooth and mm-hmm. it'll be a different color. But you will know really quickly when you make that appointment whether he really wants to do it or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a moment where you need to say to him, do you just never want to do this? Because if you don't, I'm going to stop asking.
Yeah.
But I need to know because all I do is suggest. Now I've made the appointment and you're resisting it. So am I putting you in a position? Have I made you feel badly about this, uncomfortable? Is it really just a scheduling thing? Or do you want to keep this? I mean, tell me, because I want to, basically, I want to back off. I've done everything I can do and now I want to back off. And he might say, I think it's fine the way it is. And you just have to say, okay.
This is what I want to say. I normally don't condone turning your child against the other parent. Mm. But if you wanted to whisper in your daughter's ear, tell daddy you hate it. Tell daddy it's ugly. Tell daddy he looks weird.
You could also say to him, can you just explain to me why we just spent $8,000 on Marielle's braces?
Right.
You obviously think it's important for her to have a straight white smile.
Yep.
Or a bright smile, whatever you want to say, and that will give her some advantage in life. Can I ask why you don't want the same thing?
Yeah, you could just say, because he says, oh, I will at some point. If you're just like, look, I've just made this happen. You have an appointment for a consultation, which is not going to cost you money. So are you going to go or not? Is this actually your hill to die on and you're just not saying it? Because I need to know. I don't think that this is I know she's in bed. By the way, and guess what else you can do?
Not to mention, you might need a root canal with a dead tooth like
that's
that.
That's true.
Yeah.
You could mention, also, this is a thing that you could complain to your friends about and be like, oh, it's so annoying. He like won't do anything about that tooth. And I beg him to.
It would really bother me. It's one of his front teeth. It would bother me.
Yeah. And you could just sort of complain to your friends about it and they laugh about it and think, oh, just let him do what he wants. And then what's embarrassing anymore? You know?
He must be pretty handsome if he got this far.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
Australian.
But also maybe he doesn't mind being sort of perfectly imperfect.
Yeah, a lot of people don't mind that.
I mean,
and by the way,
I will say this.
I wish I could see a picture and I know she's not going to
say now because it's easy.
Yes. Right.
And I will say a lot of people look better before. They think they want straight teeth.
I know what you mean.
And then they straighten their teeth and you think, okay.
It's like the Lauren Hutton
thing. Just looks like nothing.
Yeah.
And before,
some people can really pull that off.
Yeah. Or that it's just part of your character. I mean, you never see a real model never straightens their teeth.
No.
They just, whatever they've got.
Tyra Banks got in a lot of trouble for straightening some people's teeth.
Yeah.
Who didn't want it on that show, America's Next Top Model.
Sometimes it's just character.
Did you see Tom Cruise at the Jubilee celebration?
No.
Maybe they'd what only heard him in England. He just looked so weird. And it was
I will say, all right, I'm going to say something about Tom Cruise, which I wasn't going to say, and I'm going to say it.
Go ahead.
I'm just using Tom Cruise as an example, but I want every man over 50 to hear this loud and clear. Stop wearing three-piece suits. I think
I
they
did
wear
not
them.
Expect that.
They wear them because I think they wear a girdle under them. I think they think that I think that they think that the vest is or the waistcoat is pulling them in and covering their tummy or whatever it's doing, and it makes them all look pudgy and short and fat. It makes them look fat.
Wow, Rana.
It's doing the opposite. And I think they're all wearing Spanx under there. He looked goofy. Why? Because he had all that filler lately? Or he's always had, sort of, in fairness to him, he's always had trouble with his teeth.
He sort of looked like Joyce DeWitt's aunt. She was Janet from Three's Company. Yeah.
Thanks for that. It is funny. All these men, you sort of see how it happens, because what do? You're getting older. So what are the choices?
Right.
You go gray. You don't go gray. You let your face go. I mean, Putin. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
But so much has happened to his face in the last 20 years. Or, yeah. You know, it's funny. Men really don't want to grow old gracefully, especially if their issue is their hair.
Yes.
And so now you're Al Pacino and you dyed your hair. Well, now you got to dye your eyebrows. Well, if you're going to dye your eyebrows.
Now you got to get extensions and
now you got to do that. I mean, on and on and on and on. And then you think about what they would look like if they just had gray hair. And they look
great.
They'd look horrible, but they just wouldn't look like old Italian women, which is what they all become eventually.
It is.
But I didn't see him on the Jubilee.
Streganona.
Okay. Sure. Well, that's one question, Streganona.
Okay.
Let us know what happens.
Now, Rana, should I read this absolutely?
I don't know. Is this going to be a 6-hour episode? If it is, if you're down for a 6-hour episode, I mean, it has been a while since we've been together.
Yeah, we got to take the stage by storm, Rana.
All right, let's do it.
Dear Rana and Brian, I have a problem that, I love this person. I have a problem that I don't think is flim-flam, but you'll be the, I love it, but you'll be the judge of that.
Flim-flam, yeah.
So good. And there are a lot of details because it's intense.
Oh, buckle up, everyone.
Oh, but yeah, this is a buckle up situation.
400 paragraphs and probably no information.
Mix your cocktail.
Knowing our listeners.
Absolutely.
Too bad your monthly Ask Rana Social Club, arsocialclub.com, has not arrived.
arsocial.club has not arrived yet.
I love that you have a unique URL. I can't handle
it. It works, Rana.
I'm going to go to it right now to make sure.
Go to it. See who's on top and who's on bottom now.
Okay. Well, excuse me. That's not what I'm going to find out by typing this in. But anyway, go on.
I'm waiting for you to find it, Rana, because I have to see your face.
Dot
when you
club.
Realize.
Who even knew that was the thing? Oh, I spelled it wrong. Hold on.
Well, so that's the thing. If you're going to get to my specific site, dot club or arsocialclub.com.
Dot club.
Excuse me.
It goes right there.
There we go. Thank you.
I have to
my
tell
fans.
You, I do. I think our art is gorgeous and I love our tagline.
It's beautiful.
Exclusive cocktails, exquisite company. It's true.
It's true. What else needs to be said?
Absolutely true. All right, dear, go on.
Okay. My best friend Samantha and I have developed a pretty unhealthy relationship that started when we moved in together in 2018, but really took a nosedive during the pandemic. And now it is a monstrosity that other people, in my life at least, are commenting on. A small amount of context. Yeah, right. We were acquaintance level friends. We were acquaintance level friends, knew each other from the same PhD program. Oh. Before we became roommates in October 2018, I also started dating my now fiance, Charlie. I like that name.
Oh, I'd love to know what they're getting a PhD in, but maybe we'll find out.
Yeah,
go
you're
on.
Right. A couple weeks
highly educated, insane people is what we're about to be dealing
better.
With. Yeah.
A couple weeks. Okay. I started dating.
High class neurotics.
Definitely. Just the best breed.
The only kind, yeah.
Exactly. I hope they're vacuuming.
Couple of Labrador retrievers. Keep going.
Yeah, and I hope that they're vacuuming the floor and the furnitures with those labs. That's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. I also started dating my now fiance, Charlie, a couple
Roomba.
Weeks after.
That's why you need to get a Roomba.
A Roomba. You need to get a Roomba. You need to get a Roomba immediately. A couple weeks after Samantha and I moved in together.
Why doesn't Dyson make a Roomba?
They should. Oh, you know that really I saw work. Dyson's estate in the Cotswolds.
Oh, really?
Along with the Murdochs.
Well, which Murdochs? Elizabeth?
The two, Yeah, Elizabeth, and then because the guy who told me he was going to slap the gum out of my mouth is the driver for her. My fiance.
What did he have to say about her?
He's also occasionally a driver for the Queen, and he loved talking about her as if I
could. How could you occasionally drive for the Queen? That's not a thing.
He does.
It's not a thing.
Well, I don't know. He's driven. He knows her somehow.
You can't occasionally drive for the Queen.
He was in a car with her once when she was driving. How about that? And her buttons weren't buttoned right, and he didn't want to say anything.
Okay, go on.
On her cardigan. My fiance and I have been long distance.
How beautiful are the Cotswolds?
And he goes,
storybook.
And you know what I thought? How human. How human. Robin was into it.
Oh, how human.
How human.
Wow.
Okay. A small amount of context. We were acquaintance level friends, knew each other. Oh, I already know this. Okay. My fiance and I have been long distance for the entire duration of our relationship and will be until August this year, about a month before we get married. He's almost 40, I'm 36, and Samantha is 39. When Samantha and I moved in together.
Well, these people aren't young.
They're not. When Samantha and I moved
in
together.
They're not old, but they're not children. Let's put it that way.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
When Samantha and I moved in together, my local friends had dispersed and hers had too, or she was fed up with them and wanted a change. Mm-hmm. I just graduated and was working adjunct jobs while applying for postdocs, and Samantha was writing her dissertation. We thought the living arrangement might be short-term because of this weird stage of life. I ended up getting a local postdoc for 2 years. Samantha graduated and got some local university jobs, and then the pandemic happened. During the pre-pandemic time, we started hanging out almost exclusively, which was easy to do because of my long-distance relationship and my lack of other friends, etc. We had a lot of fun, too. This wasn't entirely out of necessity, and we quickly became very close, as would happen when you're only hanging out with one person. There was tension between her and my fiance, Charlie, pretty much from the beginning, and she would sometimes voice her disapproval of him. She's also very sensitive, so when he would come visit, she wasn't easy about it.
She's just the person you want to spend all your time with.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Like, she would let me know that she slept badly because there's someone else in the house.
What?
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep. There's someone else in the house?
Yep. Or that she just doesn't entirely feel at ease or whatever. This is
She's afraid he's going to come in and ravage her?
I guess. This is probably when the co- No, I think she's afraid he's going to come in and ravage the writer.
Yeah, well,
This is probably when the codependency started, because instead of accepting that and having Charlie visit anyway, I would try to accommodate it. Ugh. And he barely ever visited me at my home after that initial visit in winter 2018.
He's the only one with half a brain in this equation.
Instead, I would go to him, or we would meet halfway or figure something else out. She also would get, and still gets, extremely moody if plans are made and she isn't immediately in the loop about it. Even things that don't involve her
She's like you, Brian. Brian gets upset if he doesn't know what my plans are.
That's true. That is true. But you honestly, Ronna, it's person specific. It's not everybody. Wait a second.
She gets upset if you don't keep her in the loop on plans she's not invited to.
Right. Like, if you want to just go out to a museum that day by yourself, she would be incensed if she didn't know.
Okay.
Also, at the time,
I'm starting to think this is a fake letter, because anyone that would spend more than a minute with this person.
More than a minute. Also, at the same time, a few of our friends had commented that we only hang out together, and we brushed it off and we're like, yep, that's how we like it. Sorry.
Yep, that's us.
That's us. Suck we it. Only hang out together. Yeah. Sorry. Bye. Losers.
Oranges.
Yep. Then the pandemic happened and we were both pretty
freaked out.
Go suck an orange. Go scratch. This is all about me and Sam. I think because of our traveling for our PhD programs, we each have firsthand experience with weird and new diseases. Okay.
And so they're like public health people or something?
And didn't want to fuck around with anything unknown. Charlie is also extremely COVID cautious. At least on that front, my inner circle was on the same page. However, because of this extreme caution, I didn't see my family for over a year, and Charlie and I chose to see each other less frequently, but for longer stretches of time. And these were also always meetings in the middle, so Samantha never had to be burdened, except
by
my absence.
I'm drinking my weekend water, by the way.
I'm about to drink absolute rubbing alcohol.
This is a glass from the Paul F. Tompkins, Janie F. Tompkins, Homekins podcast called Weekend Water.
I love it. It's beautiful.
Go on.
Samantha and I, you know what? Probably Paul didn't call me because, I mean, I sort of didn't have that like long distance plan. So I guess I should ask him about my waterless mug.
Oh, I bought this in order to support my friend's work.
Oh, yeah. Then I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah. No, that's why you don't have one.
Right. Okay.
Just like I bought 12 copies of Jesse Klein's book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To give out his party favors for the people.
She can, by the way, she can give me more than one. I don't care.
She could, yeah.
Samantha and I celebrated all the holidays together and found little ways to have fun and basically became even more insular. And she's especially become emotionally dependent on me. I got to tell you, this reminds me of Notes on a Scandal.
Oh, you're not
Judy Dench, Kate Winslet.
Wow. I'd like to revisit that. That was an unnerving performance.
Oh my God.
That was Blue Jasmine before Blue Jasmine is what that was.
Correct.
It was before, wasn't it?
Before. It was before. Yeah. And Judy Dench, I remember at one point, gets mad because Kate Blanchett is out of town and her cat died and Kate Blanchett didn't change her plans to come visit the cat. And when she got home, Judy Dench looked at her and she goes, "Someone has died." Talking about the cat.
Amazing. I might actually rewatch that.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Even in my relationship with Charlie, we, Samantha and I, had fantasized that about fun. Living together forever and having casual boyfriends. So you're just as complicit in this. But just being the main person for each other. This is Notes on a Scandal. I stopped entertaining these ideas the more serious things got with Charlie. But early on—
So you were actually entertaining them? You weren't joking about it?
No.
That wasn't like a joke.
She literally made like a blood brother, blood sister style pact. Like, hey, we only need each other and then we can date on the side. They're nuts.
I'm really getting upset. And I'm upset with our letter writer, by the way. I'm not upset
Me too.
With Samantha.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But early on, I was totally on board as my relationship history was highly disappointing and I found
totally
my friendships to be more fulfilling.
That's wild. What?
As what?
What did you just say? Keep reading? I was totally on board because why?
Because her relationship history was disappointing and she thought her friendships were more fulfilling.
So she thought she'd just marry her roommate so she doesn't have to spend one
Who
minute by herself.
Who has to take an oath?
One minute by yourself? That's
of
the
loyalty.
Issue?
This is crazy.
Can't go to a movie by yourself on a Tuesday afternoon?
And also that it would be a betrayal if you did to your friend?
Can't watch a television program without a Netflix and chill partner? This is Cody, big time Cody. Charlie's listening to this.
Me, Charlie, honestly,
yeah.
As I've learned from Judge Judy, the engagement ring is a contract. If the contract isn't fulfilled and you don't get married, the person who gave them the ring is entitled to it back. There's so much of this.
Judge Judy thinks you always have to give the ring back?
If it's an engagement ring, you always have to give it back because it's a contract wasn't fulfilled. You give the ring in anticipation of getting married, which is the contract.
But what if the person gives the ring and they break it off? They still get it back?
Yes.
Interesting.
They still get it back.
Go on.
There's so much of this that I haven't even included. She's pretty depressed and probably has other undiagnosed.
So Judy doesn't believe in emotional damages. There's no, you can keep this for emotional damages.
No.
If I bought sort of you like, the ring and then I cheated on you and I did Johnny Depp all over the place and then we broke up, I still get the ring back?
If you ask for it back, yes.
As opposed to, here's my emotional damages.
Unless that was something in a court of law, the contract was not fulfilled, so it goes back to the person who gave the gift.
Okay, keep going. Wow.
There's so much of this that I haven't even included. She's pretty depressed and probably
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't
Honestly,
need to hear about how they watched
favor.
The Mandalorian together during
quarantine. No.
Yeah.
She's pretty depressed and probably has other undiagnosed mental health issues too, and definitely needs a therapist. Who doesn't? Yeah, you might also.
Get a mirror.
Yeah, no kidding. But immediately when we moved in together, I realized she's not going to do anything to help the house. I attributed it to her depression.
Wait a minute.
So rather than trying to divide the chores and getting frustrated, I just decided to do everything.
No.
This is crazy.
N-O spells no.
No. I was basically her mom, her housewife, her best friend, everything. During a big chunk of us living together too,
Why
I had full-time jobs.
Why did you need to have all those jobs? You need to ask yourself why you needed to have all of those
Absolutely.
Jobs.
Absolutely. Do you know who
Not
you
why
are?
She wanted you to have them. Why you needed to have them.
Honestly?
Yeah.
I was basically her. Okay, I said all that. During a big chunk of us living together too, I had full-time jobs or full-time hours, and she had either nothing because she was writing her dissertation or way fewer hours than I had. I also cooked for us regularly and did all the grocery shopping.
Nope.
And didn't even ask her to split the grocery bills because she'd been laid off during COVID because she had a job with the study abroad office.
Okay, I'll be elsewhere this is insane. For the rest of this question. I can't stay here.
One of the things that shifted my affections from Samantha to Charlie was about the household work. I didn't I'll read that again. One of the things that shifted my affections from Samantha to Charlie, her friend to Charlie, as if those are the same ballpark.
Wow.
Was about the household work. I didn't want to live with someone permanently who I had to cook and clean up after. Weirdly, I'd had some similar issues with Charlie because I've been in therapy consistently for 6 years until last fall when I got too busy. I was working on my
Too busy living therapy's a codependent 45 minutes relationship.
A week. Or every 2 weeks even. I was working on my communication and romantic relationships. So I would tell Charlie that I want us to cook together, clean together, how it makes me feel like X when he does Y, etc. So because
this
of therapy,
is very
feel,
interesting to me. Yeah, go on.
I feel like my relationship with Charlie really grew into something very healthy and great. Mm-hmm. But because I was stuck in a small house with Samantha, I never brought this messed up friendship up to my therapist.
Excuse you.
We were on Zoom, and I guess she never thought to ask because most probably wasn't on the therapist to know how insane your relationship is.
Also,
and
I guess Zoom, take a walk.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So she was like afraid to mention it in the house.
She's in the other room. I can't talk about it. Right. Take a walk.
And I guess she never thought to ask because most people probably don't have these very, very unbalanced relationship with friends.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to know right now that this is over another page long.
Shut up. It's not over yet.
Nope. There's another page and a half. So in short,
I'm retiring after this. Letter. I'm retiring. Just want you to know.
I do everything in our physical world.
We're never going to have one listener left after this show. It's going to be 7 hours long. This is going to be it. We should release this as a two-parter.
And this letter writer, even though we've given no information about her, you should probably change your address because people are mad now.
Okay, go
on. I do
on.
Everything in our physical world for Samantha, and emotionally I carry an immense load for her. Now, some more complicating details.
What?
My mom has an, quote, extra house in Philadelphia. She moved to the next state to be closer to my brother and his family and has been hesitant to sell the house. She
the
said I could
state?
Move into it.
New Jersey? Delaware? Where are
one
we?
One of the two.
Ohio?
She said I could move into it. One of the three. I hope it's not Ohio, though. I mean, that border is weird.
I don't think it is. Yeah.
She said I could move into it and Charlie and I could eventually buy it from her, but she wanted someone in the house ASAP because it's bad for houses to just sit unoccupied.
That's the most truthful statement in the whole letter.
So far, she's the only one.
The only thing she got right so far is that the house shouldn't sit empty.
The maturity starts here.
It's upsie downtown where the sky is on the ground. The sea is where the sky should be. The rain is falling up instead of falling down, down in upsie downtown.
Yep. Charlie is finishing law school and wanted to get back to the mid-Atlantic. As both of our families are from there, and he was thrilled at the idea of an extremely cheap house in a fairly HCOL area.
What does that mean?
HCOL.
HCOL.
High cost of living.
Okay.
Okay, that must be what it is. Cheap.
Oh, is that another one of your skills that you could do acronyms?
That's trying to figure out acronyms. That's one of my special skills.
That was good. Yeah.
Thanks.
Wow.
He secured a job in Philly that will start a few weeks after we get married. Samantha was looking for a job.
So I need Charlie's email ASAP.
Charlie, honestly, what you listen, letter writer, do not ever, ever let
him
Charlie listen to this. Samantha was looking for a job and my position could be remote. So we decided to move together to my mom's house in Philly.
So you had the opportunity.
You
had an out and you didn't take it. Wow.
With the understanding
what happened to
out
you?
When who are you?
How many cats or dogs do you have? Why can't we do that instead?
Who?
Just go
and how
get
many
10
raccoons
pets.
Are you feeding? How many raccoons are you
just
feeding?
Just go get 10 pets. You don't need this pet. This is an expensive pet.
This is crazy.
Rescuing this pet.
With the understanding that Samantha would move out when Charlie moved in. She also decided to stop taking her SSRIs right before we moved in summer 2021.
Oh,
this was not doctor approved or advised or even no.
No. I wouldn't think.
Then, no shock, she entered basically the worst depression I've ever seen in. By the way, because you cannot quit these things cold turkey if you've been taking them for years.
I know.
She entered basically the worst depression I've ever seen her in, and it's been nothing less than a nightmare.
She also is trying to get, this is what she's doing to sabotage your relationship with Charlie. Completely. She's going to be fused to the couch before Charlie moves in.
Also, part of the idea of moving into this house was that it would be easier for Charlie to visit because we had doubled or possibly tripled the space. Charlie visited in August for a few weeks and it was hell. He visited again in the fall and it was better because she'd gotten into a relationship that turned toxic over the winter and she was pretty happy. He visited again in December and it was back to being hellish. She doesn't like Charlie, but she doesn't want us to do things with, like, she doesn't like Charlie, but she doesn't want us to do things without her. And if she even feels like we are excluding her, she gets upset and holds away in her room. Her moods are extreme and contagious. When she's happy, we can all relax and get along and be happy. When she's tense, we're all tense. It sucks how much her moods and emotions dominate my life.
I'm so angry right now.
I'm so upset, Rana. By the way, I just want to remind everyone, these people are not 19, 20, and 21.
Correct.
Things in her relationship are a disaster, and she is upset at the thought of our, me and Samantha's, happy life together coming to an end when I get married and worried that everything's going to change. I want to scream that it already has changed, and it's not happy currently. I know that Charlie's occasional presence contributes to this. She feels like her life is at a dead end, and she's almost 40 and feeling very isolated, and all of her friends are in serious relationships. Her depression is so, so horrible. Often when I come home from work, I change jobs and I'm no longer remote. She will have an impromptu therapy session with me for hours. No exaggeration. It will be easily 2 or 3 hours. And if I get tired or check my phone, she gets really upset and says, I'm trying to talk to you about something serious. Yes, I know. And I'm fucking tired. Oh yeah, I'm tired because if we don't stay up super late, then she gets sad, even though I have to wake up at 6:45 in order to get to work on time.
No.
She wants all of my time and all of my attention, and it's hard and bad. She's so worried about losing friends to marriages and families, and she's suffocating me to the point where I feel like she will lose me to my marriage.
Will?
Honey, I think your marriage is going to be lost to this if you don't fix it.
Yep.
I feel a lot of responsibility for letting this relationship turn into this monstrosity it currently is. My other best friend, I can't believe you even have time for another friend who lives in Philly.
Even time for a snack. When do you
anything? Eat? Yeah, exactly. Who lives in Philly and is, because it seems like that would offend her, and has been my best friend for 18 years, confronted me about this recently, that I only ever hang out with Samantha and she feels like we are a couple and that we need to go to couples therapy.
Yeah.
Yikes. I don't know what to do to get this friendship back
on a healthy course.
That's quite
a thing to say to somebody.
It really is. I thought about couples counseling, but I'd rather not do that.
Oh my God.
Should I start seeing my therapist again?
Your
therapist who you've never once mentioned Samantha,
Why not do us a favor? Email her this letter before you.
Email her this letter. Yeah. Should I get a new therapist and deal with this specifically? I'm worried that we just won't be friends after I get married, but that's not exactly what I want. I definitely want to take things down about 100 notches, and I feel like I can live my life without hurting her feelings or upsetting her.
No, you can't. No one can.
I don't know how to stop the
conflict. It upsets her when someone's in the other room. How are you going to live your life without upsetting her when you make any decision that is not what she wants?
Much love. I know you'll steer me in the right direction. Don't use my name. P.S. I also changed the name in places. You're going to die. And I did edit this down.
Well, I hope that your PhD was not in editing. Let's say. I hope you're not hoping
to be an
editor for a newspaper. Yeah, exactly.
Rana?
First of all, I want you to know I'm vibrating with fury right now. It's very rare that I know I can be tough love, but it's very rare that I get really upset.
I'm
when
like
I hear
physically
a letter.
Ill.
My advice to you is to reread your own letter. That's my advice to you. And that's all the advice that I'm giving you today. Because honestly, what are you doing? Ask yourself what you're doing and why you're doing it. And ask yourself this.
What a waste of life.
What is all of this energy going to it? What has this person ever done for you? This is the definition of codependency. Something happened to you or in your environment or whatever it was that made you the person that needs to rescue and take care of, or this is your pattern, or this is what you know how to do because this is what you learn to do or watch somebody else do in your life. I don't know what, but this is not a life.
And if you Charlie, yep.
I got bad news for you and Charlie.
Charlie.
You've been long distance this whole time. Here's my one thing my shtetl clairvoyance is telling me.
Okay.
This person thinks that because they have been able to maintain a healthy relationship with Charlie, quote unquote, that this unhealthy relationship that's taking place doesn't count. So what I'm saying is basically they're living a bifurcated life where I'm doing great in this relationship with him. I communicate with him and everything is mature and da 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 da. And that would be great if that was the only life you were leading. But at home, you are still practicing every pathology, pattern, whatever you want to call it, that you think you have moved beyond in your relationship with him. And the truth is, you're getting your fix in two places. You are still totally codependent at home. You haven't cleared up any of those issues. In fact, I would say they are at a fever pitch.
Yeah, this is bad.
And the relationship with Charlie is actually the dishonest relationship in your life. That's actually not who you really are. That's who you want to be. And if you don't fix this other thing, you can forget about Charlie, because guess what happens when you move in with Charlie? All that baggage is going to move right over to the Charlie relationship. And you can forget about being friends with this person after you get married, if you want to stay married. The fact that this guy, who happens to be, I don't know, America's sweetheart, that he would meet you halfway, that he wouldn't turn around and say to you, I'm sorry, your roommate doesn't like it when I come over to the house that your mother gave us for after we're married. In other words, my house. Your roommate doesn't like it when I come to my house because she can hear me in the bathroom. What are we doing?
What are the odds that Samantha is on every insurance policy as the beneficiary to everything the songwriter owns? Honestly, that's what this feels like. And I have to tell you this, it does. And I have to tell you, if you want to, I don't know what you got your PhD in. If you want to be like this with someone, you should be getting paid for it. You should be a registered nurse. You should work in hospice. If this is what truly fulfills you, you should be doing it with people who are actually in need. I have to tell
you. Boundaries.
And with boundaries.
Yeah, where you
exactly.
Go home.
You're off the clock.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, this is probably the most toxic, without being physically abusive, the most toxic relationship I have ever heard about in my life.
You know what I keep thinking about? The girl that wrote to us from Vancouver, who was living with her unstable sister and being a free nanny to her unstable sister, and wrote to us and said, and then she did this, and then she did that, and then she did this, and then she did that. And then I had to go save everybody and take care of the baby. And now I'm enmeshed with the baby and da da da. And it was such a sad, horrible situation. And I believe she wrote us a follow-up eventually saying she had figured out how to reset her boundaries with her family, et cetera.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
But not since that letter have I heard a letter from a person who allowed themselves to become so lost in the life of another person, where you are living through the other person's drama, ups and downs. There is something in you that feels you need to save people. And you need to save yourself, my dear.
Help. You have to get help. And I don't know if you need to see a new therapist or not, but you have to start being honest with your therapist. Because I got to tell you what I would do, honestly. If this were me, here's what I think I would do. I would tell her, you have so long to move out. I don't want to pursue a friendship with you any longer. It's exhausting. It feels abusive. There's nothing else I want to say about it. So I'm giving you a 30-day notice. In the meantime, I'm not going to be staying here. And if you're not out in 30 days, I'll move on with eviction. Because by the way,
careful, she's
got squatter's rights. She absolutely has squatter's
rights.
She's
on the mail.
Yep.
Right? Isn't that how it works? It's something crazy like that. Make sure you're caught up on your real estate taxes. Make sure your mother has paid her real estate taxes, because this girl will take your house from you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have got to, you don't even need to do this gently. You can leave her a note. You can do whatever you want to do. She has got to go. And you will never, ever be easy, casual friends with this person.
It's not a thing.
So you are either all in.
She got rid of all of her friends to be friends with you. What makes you think she's going to meet you for a salad?
You are either all in or you are all out. And I say, get the fuck out. Unless,
hit something very smart earlier when you said, why are you taking oaths with people?
Yeah.
What is this? We're 30. Also, this ridiculous, you know, life ends at 39. Whatever this, you know, you're dead.
You're not even halfway through your life.
Turn 40 and drop dead or whatever, the, you know, because you don't have
very young now.
A partner. And so this idea that, well, why don't we just spend the rest of our lives together? And then when I transferred, I met Charlie, and what was the sentence? And I moved that over, that affection or that whatever it was. What are you talking about?
What are you talking
In what
about?
World are those relationships? I mean, the truth is, it's exactly what you were doing. You replaced one with the other. You were looking for somewhere to feel needed, wanted, important, whatever. By the way, we all are, okay? That's what a relationship is. Lovely. Find a person who makes you feel needed, wanted, important, but also does a host of other things and doesn't do a host of other things that you do for yourself, more importantly. But when you said, why do you have to take an oath? Why, what is this drama of we'll just spend the rest of our lives together? Oh, whoops. I mean, it's almost like you haven't broken up with her. Like, she thinks you're not really going to leave her for Charlie.
Even in movies, it's like a thing where they're like, they talk about like, remember when we were 18 and we said, if we ever turned 35, we'd get married. Yeah. That's when you were 18. You had that conversation.
Yeah. Cause you know it's not a thing.
And by the way, no one believed it then. You know what I mean? Like,
but also, you were 18, so you thought people had to get married. But then you live your life as an adult, and you think, oh, I don't know.
Who cares?
What does it matter? I mean, really, truly. If you want to be married and have a family, I think that's wonderful. But it's certainly not something a person needs to do if they haven't found the person they want to do it with.
This is an open and first of all, like Rana said, you need.
They don't have a farm they need to work, that she needs to have another person to work this farm with her. I mean,
You need therapy badly.
Ding, ding, ding.
I got to tell you.
This is old stuff.
You probably have a thing where you want to help people, but I actually have a very loving spot for you in my heart. Because,
and I'm sure you're a delightful, sweet person.
These are issues of self-esteem also.
This is way too over.
And that's the worst. That's because I can relate to that. But that is where you think, for some reason, you owe it to this person who is treated
you
like
absolute dog shit. You were doing the housework?
Dog shit. Who is this?
You were doing the housework. She didn't have a job. And she never once did you come home and she said, I bought the groceries and made dinner while you were at work.
I got to tell you, even
that's
if
that's what
we're
you think you deserve.
Even if we're a family member in need, that if I had a sister or brother who really
what was
needed
this
help.
Your kid sister, you'd go crazy.
I would never allow it. I would never allow it.
You don't really have a chore wheel?
Yeah.
She's living in your mother's house?
Mm-mm. That would fly for like a guest who's staying 3 or 4 days.
I know this has been a harsh answer. I mean, I know we're doling out
terribly.
A harsh reality.
I feel terribly because clearly like she is so in this that how could you ever feel like you'd get out?
And the other thing I'll say is take a good look at your relationship with Charlie, because that's either a wonderful opportunity that you're about to destroy, or it is the, as I was saying, the other side of this pathology. So you'll have to figure that out. But this could be a wonderful opportunity that you're about to destroy, because now you're asking him to be the most patient person in the world. This is interesting, actually. Just had another shtetl moment. You are asking of him what she is asking of you. So you want him, you want to be the most patient person in the world for her. Somehow this matter complex is something that you think is admirable. Mm-hmm. But you feel that someone has to do that for you in order to show you that you have value. This is a real chain reaction domino situation. So he has to be the most patient guy in the world. And everything that you say about, oh, and then I said to him, he has to do this differently and we have this emotionally mature relationship. And by the way, how telling is it that you never discussed this with your therapist because of the deep, dark shame that you feel knowing
you do feel
that this is not
it.
Healthy.
You know this it's not healthy. You know it's a dumb thing to be doing. And I got to tell you, you
not
better
healthy.
Be prepared. You better be prepared for the worst. If you follow our advice and get out of this, she will absolutely threaten like self-harm. She will threaten.
Yes.
She'll pull out all the stops over this one. This
she's
is
mostly
not going.
She's
bag.
Mostly going to try and steal that house. I predict the squad is right.
You
step.
Have to. You have to nip this in the bud now. And there is. I would not maintain 1 ounce of a relationship with this person.
And don't ever. Have any communication because otherwise none. You're going to hear that she's going to say she's going to kill herself. You're her
yep.
only friend. Da,
absolutely.
Da, 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 da.
Nope.
Yeah.
She'll say it. She will say that stuff.
Yeah. And you can say.
Oh, I'm so upset.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, but you're going to have to call your family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need a fresh start here.
This is not backing away. This is closing the door and locking it.
Yes. Woof.
Wow.
Should we do the FADA question?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think we have to.
Well, we can't do anything else real after that. I mean,
oh,
that
crazy?
Was a roller coaster.
I'm going to have to take a nap.
I did want to do this question. It's a little bit serious, but I wanted to do it because I think this person needs a little advice. So I just wanted to
let's do it
very quickly. But I'm going to read you the FADA because I said it. And then we're going to do very quickly the FADA. Then I'm going to do this other one very quickly. I'll read the book very, very quickly. Dear Rana and Brian, I'm in dire need of your help. I know this letter might, it's a palate cleanse. It might seem a bit lowbrow compared to your usual ones, but this is a problem I'm facing and have no one else to turn to. I fart a lot. Sometimes they smell, sometimes they don't, but the main problem is the frequency. My main concern is how this will affect any future relationships. I know your first thought might be to simply get up and go to the bathroom, but sometimes they can be as frequent as every 10 minutes. When I'm around friends watching TV or out for dinner, I tend to hold them in for a long time, but this ends up causing me some pains after a while. When I'm home alone, it's no issue. I can relieve myself to my heart's content, but when I'm around others, then the struggle begins.
To my heart's content.
Just a night home alone by the fire farting. Any tips and tricks or general thoughts on combating that? Tricks on combating flatulence would be mostly appreciated. You are two of the only ones I know of to give the most intuitive and unsagely advice necessary in situations like this. Kindest regards, please don't use my name. Okay. Look. First of all.
Yeah, Rana.
Look, you're eating, what is
well,
it?
Actually, he sounds like Rana's type.
Don't eat, my first advice
send Rana
is
your number.
Don't eat beans for breakfast, lunch, dinner. That's my
absolutely
first advice.
Not. No.
Okay. My second advice is, Dia, find out what's going on. Go to a
go
GI.
Go to a doctor.
Get
a GI,
stool
exactly.
sample.
Yeah.
Go to whatever. Find out, go to an allergist.
You might be, yes.
You got a milk intolerance and you drink a latte every morning. You have a this or you do that. If it's really bothering you and you really care, then go address it. And if you
and
don't,
also,
then keep fighting your whole life.
And
away.
A temporary solution is anything like a Gas X, which removes the gas without you farting. It just
well,
dissipates
I have never
the gas
taken
inside.
Gas X, but if it really works, then give it
if
a shot.
If it really works, I know people who've taken it, and it doesn't make you flatulate more. It just dissipates it in your body to where you don't at all. But I don't know that Gas X is a long-term solution. You know what
just
I mean?
Just go to a doctor.
Go to
a doctor.
I'm
farting all the time. It's ruining my life. What do I do?
Yeah, you don't.
The doctor
don't,
might say you have this issue, or they might say you're a gassy person.
And by the way, maybe get a Fitbit, because maybe getting up every 10 minutes to go fart in the bathroom if you're dating someone, you might get a lot of steps in. You might get really fit.
But I also think that if this is a new thing, then you've got some microbiome thing, and you've got to go
that's
deal
what it
with
is.
That. That's all.
That's what it is.
It's a probiotic. It's a prebiotic. Who knows? Go see
I
a
mean,
doctor.
To get to the bottom of this is probably going to be maximum 3 to 4 appointments. Truly.
It's always, just do it. I will say this, they always are going to want you to take a stool sample and you're going to not want to do it, but it's the most informative thing you can do.
Right.
It seems disgusting. You don't want to deal with it, blah, blah, blah. But that's where all the information is. Just do it. And when they order it,
where the textbook is,
the most full panel they could possibly do.
Yep.
And your insurance will pay for it.
Definitely.
Okay. We're going to do this one quickly too, but this is sort of serious. And I don't know, Brian. I feel like we're going to walk away from the table today and we're going to say, oh, we feel badly that we were so hard on her, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a very dire situation and something that someone really needs to take a look at.
No kidding.
And that really, I just want that person to know that that all came from a place of love, which is stop wasting your life. You're young.
There's even stuff about it I can relate to. Like,
you have one, of course, you have wonderful things on the horizon. Even if you say to yourself, I'm not really thrilled about how I behaved, but it got me through the pandemic and now I'm doing a fresh start, whatever it is, but you need to go come correct with a professional therapist.
And I am not kidding when you come correct with a professional therapist. I think you had a great point, Rana. I think you send this your therapist this email and say, this is what I'm dealing with. And
I'm too embarrassed to recount this from you. I need you to read this.
It's all right.
And we can talk about it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
And it could even be, and if you really are too embarrassed, it could be a fresh therapist.
I mean, we understood. It was a well-written letter. We understood every single thing this person was going through.
But I think, you know, you talk about getting a fresh therapist to the old therapist. I sort of think I could be wrong, but I think part of the exercise of this and an exercise. And exercise.
Yes, sure.
Is going to the original therapist, because I think it's important to say, for that therapist to say, can I ask, they won't. What? I mean, I don't know how they do it, but to think to themselves, can I ask why you didn't tell me this before?
Yeah. And it's not an accusatory question.
That's part of being honest,
very
and open and totally. And not having this split life that you're having right now.
It will make you feel the truth shall set you free, honey.
We got this letter the other night and it made me so sad. And so we have to, I'm going to read it and we'll just give them a little bit of advice. But I think probably even just writing the letter probably made this person feel better.
Oh, good.
Dear Rana, Brian, and or wonderful guest, I should start with a heads up that my question is about pregnancy loss. Okay. So we're giving a little trigger warning to people. If anyone doesn't want to hear this, they can fast forward to the end. Fair okay. Enough. After a year of fertility treatments with my partner, Yonatan, I got pregnant at the beginning of March. At 6 weeks, we saw a heartbeat. At 8 weeks, I went for another scan just to be reassured, and everything was great. Then at 10 weeks, my doctor said that the fetus had something called a cystic hygroma, an indication of a serious problem, which was then confirmed by further tests. At 11 weeks, we made the heartbreaking decision to terminate this so loved and longed for pregnancy.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That was 3 weeks ago. And in that time, I can say that I am feeling worse and worse. Falling apart would be accurate. We have been very open about what has happened, and so many people have shared with us similar and more tragic experiences. However, the comfort of companionship of this sharing is always short-lived for me, understandably. Reality and medically wise, everything is in our favor to go on to have a healthy baby. But no matter the statistics, I've lost all hope and belief in that.
Yeah.
Every little challenge in my day sends me into a spiral of sadness, anger, and a bit of cynicism, which I hate but can't stop. Yonatan is the most supportive, kind, and generous partner, and yet I constantly direct my anger at him and then feel terrible for it. Right. I feel like I can't cope with anything in daily life, let alone starting another round of treatments. We live in Israel where fertility treatments are massively subsidized and supported. So we are
right. That's what I've heard,
lucky.
That actually going through an IVF situation in Israel is actually not very expensive.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
The state picks up the tab.
Yeah.
So we are incredibly lucky not to have financial concerns while at the same time having access to great doctors and options. But just like the favorable statistics about future pregnancies, none of this very fortunate circumstance brings me any gratitude or comfort. My question is, how do I get through this with a bit more grace and maybe a little less hopelessness and misery? What do you hold on to do in those darkest places when reason or facts or the promise of time will help, just don't speak to you. We are both in therapy, but I'm desperate for something more. I wish I was religious and could turn to that to give me faith in the future and a belief that all this is for the best. But short of what do I do? But short of that, what do I do? Maybe I'm looking for something that no one can really give me, but I'm sure you have something to offer from your combined wisdom, humor, and experience. Love, Leora.
Oh, Leora. I'm so sorry. That is hard, hard, hard. And I can't even, it's one of those things where I could only imagine what that is.
Yes, I would say also, so she's written this letter 3 weeks after this happened.
Right.
She was 10 weeks pregnant or 12 weeks. I don't know what, how far along she was when this round ended. You absolutely have to allow for the fact that the hormones that are coursing through your body at that point.
Okay, yeah.
It's going to be so much harder to, it's just going to take a little longer to rebound. You have to, you can't divorce yourself and your body from the intellectualization of, well, it's great that we don't have to pay for it. And of course, we probably, this is going to work out someday. We just have to pick ourselves up off the floor and do it. And why am I so angry with my husband? And when he's such a nice guy, all of these dichotomies of why do I feel a certain way when I could, when rationally it's not the truth. One is hormones. And two is just good old-fashioned grief. Of course, you're upset. You're mourning the loss of this thing. Do not put that expectation on yourself to be rational and mature and perfect in this moment. This is going, this stinks. This is what we call a bummer. But I will say this. The most important piece of information here is that when you went through years of fertility treatments and now you got pregnant and you stayed pregnant this long, what that means is that your body can be pregnant and can get pregnant.
That's right.
And that is a really, really difficult milestone that they don't like to talk about too much in fertility treatments because they sort of only give you the information that you need. But your body has said, I know how to do this now. And I do think there is a real value to that. And I look, I'm sure 1,001 people have told you their miscarriage stories and this and that, because they do when these things happen. And in fact, women don't talk about these things enough. Right. And it gives you some comfort because you start to think, well, okay, then this is much more prevalent than I thought. And da, 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 da. And this person has this. And so maybe I'll be this person someday, et cetera, et cetera. But your body knows how to do this now. And in fact, it just did it very recently. Mm-hmm. So when you're ready to pick yourself up off the floor, whenever that may be, you just have to find the fortitude to start again. And the bummer about this, and one of the reasons you might be upset with beautiful, wonderful, fabulous, loving, caring Yonatan, is because at the end of the day, this is the fundamental, whatever you want to call it, imbalance, unfairness,
yeah,
whatever it is between men and women,
yeah,
which is that Yonatan can rub your feet for the next 10 months if he wants to, but he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to go through the physical process.
You are literally feeling pregnant. This in your body. That's right.
You have to carry this burden for everyone. And that is the biological fact here of the situation. And so when you experience the loss, you also don't experience it as a couple. You experience it to some degree as a couple, but you experience it.
That's right.
And so on some level, you're pissed at him because
it's
he
annoying.
Doesn't, he can't
yeah.
understand. And why doesn't he have to do it? And why didn't he have to do the shots? And why doesn't he have to da, 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 da? And it doesn't matter if he's the nicest guy in the world. This is just life. But this is one of these moments where as a woman, or a birthing parent, or whatever you want to call it, you just have to decide to dig deep. And it absolutely stinks, and it's a bummer. And it doesn't have to be today, and it doesn't have to be tomorrow. But if you think you want a family, you're going to have to dust yourself off and try again. And I guarantee for you that you will be so much stronger having gone through this experience, and that the joy will be that much sweeter when you get to the other side of it, however you get there, whether you adopt, whether you have a surrogate, whether you use someone else's egg, whether you become pregnant yourselves, then that's what it is. But if you want a family, there's only one way, and it's moving forward. And so, and I would say you're in Israel. Wonderful that everything is free, blah, blah, blah. But also really wonderful that you say, I wish I could turn to religion. Okay, you're not a religious person. But maybe you're a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with going to the beach and taking a walk by yourself, or going to the Western Wall and stuffing a note in if you want to, and saying, on maybe that, this works, maybe it doesn't. I don't know, but it felt good to do something.
And on that note, and I am talking out of my regular amount of farting ass, I really have no idea what I'm saying.
I think this is a human answer to a question.
No, it is.
I have not personally experienced everything that this woman is talking about.
But when
about.
You mentioned writing the note into the wall, I do just wonder if part of you, only because I've heard this from friends before, that like no one really understands unless they've been through it and all of this. And it is just something like no cis man can understand what
that
is.
It's why this abortion stuff is so upsetting. But anyway, go on. I mean, it's upsetting for a zillion reasons, but one of them is that you could never understand the burden.
Yep.
Anyway, go on.
And the people who want to call these shots are the people who don't understand at all.
Yeah.
Which is so horrifying in its own right. But along with you putting what you said, like the note in the wall or something like this, is there something that you could do to really honor this baby you had for the first trimester, whether it's a letter or whether it's an I will not forget you, or whether mm-hmm. it's something, I don't know, that could bring you some more closure for this, even if you just wrote it down to know, like, okay, I went through that. And I'm not going to just forget that it happened or something.
I think if that's something that speaks to you.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying.
Then that, no, I think if that's something, look, I think a lot of people really believe in that. And if that's mm-hmm. something that speaks to you, then that is something that you should absolutely consider doing. And it's not goofy and it's not weird and it's not magical thinking.
No.
It's not any of those things. But I would also say on the flip side of that, the sort of super scientific side of that, if that is the spiritual, lovely, beautiful, how we connect to the universe and you know, et cetera type thing, you have to also, in some ways, you have to thank your body for, or science or whatever it is, for telling you this one isn't going to make it.
Yeah.
Because that is what pregnancy loss often is just, it's not anything you did. It's not about, we are trying to always look for reason and externalize and da, da, da. And sometimes it's just that the embryo is not going to be a successful embryo. And the body does you this wonderful cosmic favor of saying, not this one, just wait for the next one or the one after that or whatever it is. And I will also say, having just been experiencing my beautiful granddaughter and basically raising her myself, which, you know, I don't want to have to get into that. It's no one's business,
sure.
But
well, yeah,
I'm spending a little more time with her than I thought that I would be spending time with her when this was
foisted upon me. Well, that's because your son's sort of good for nothing.
Yeah, foisted exactly. upon me.
Yeah, he's very lazy.
Well, he's basically like a single mother. You have to decide between your career and your child. And lucky for him, he had childcare. But in any of that, in the end, it does not matter where this child comes from, whatever your options end up being. If you really want to be parents, if that's the thing that you really want, the only thing that matters is everything for both of you. And I mean that for the child and for the parent, is everything that happens after they hand you the child. That is where the business of connecting with that creature starts bonding, connecting, etc. I don't think baby Steve will feel any less connected to me than she, probably more so than she will to Jordan. And that is because I am the person who is paying for the person who is taking care of her every day of her life.
You're right, Rana. That's beautiful.
And she'll know, she'll you know.
Who had Nina, the, who had
Nina Ron is writing the checks, you know, or whatever it is. But
does your nanny totally, accept debit or credit? Or
is there anything
checks?
Sadder than feeling this is, and this may, I mean, I might say something that she might say, oh, I never thought of it that way. So I might make her even sadder by saying this. But on some fundamental level, we're animals. Okay. We accept this.
Oh, and yeah, especially if I'm in a certain mood. Yeah. I mean, I really
yeah,
know
don't
how
get between
it.
Him and a, you know,
dig it in and rip it
strawberry
out.
Strawberry yogurt popsicle or whatever that's he's right. into that week.
That's right.
What do you mean you're out of hot chocolate? You know, whatever
yeah,
it is.
Exactly.
But the, on some level, we're animals. And we are, and this is what makes human beings unique is that we then have, you know, the gift of reason. And so sure. you can decide, you, something speaks to you, it doesn't speak to you. We're not all created equally in this way. But this concept of procreation, if it's something that you want to do as a woman, you think, well, it's all, I've got the equipment right here. So what's the problem? And the answer is there's a million problems for a million people in between this, that, what, stress, modern life, age, not age. It's not like, it is this fairy tale idea that it's just easy for people to have children. But for some women, you just feel, how is it that I can't do the very thing that is the only thing I'm supposed to be able to do? If you took my brain out of my head, I should still be able to carry a child.
Right.
That's just being an animal. And so when you experience this kind of loss, you just have a few moments of feeling like a failure on a biological level. You could. Not saying that she did. I may have just given her a reason to walk into the ocean and not walk back. But none of that is really true. It's just how it feels. It does explain the depths of your depression in that moment. But also know that this is like a storm in the middle of the night. And when you wake up in the morning, the sun will shine again. And you'll pull yourself together. And you too will make the best decision for your family.
That's right. And you start, like, it really is so... It's such a weird platitude and maybe an empty one, but like time is really the key here and it changes everything. I will also say this though, and maybe
one
this
foot
is not
in front
for
of
you.
The other.
I think it is absolutely wonderful that you're in therapy. I've been in group therapy a few times and I will say the advantage of that sometimes, which can be an added thing, is that you really can talk about your problem for a capped time. And then the question becomes, okay, we heard that. So what are we going to do about you? So what's your next step? Because we already know, we don't need to hear that story. Not that your story is annoying. But we don't necessarily need to hear that story again. We know that story. So where does it start now? And I think that can be helpful sometimes. Some people hate group therapy. I like it. But I don't know. That's just like another.
I also wouldn't be afraid to take a couple of days to pull yourself together by yourself. Because it's not really, I mean, on some level you're going through this as a couple, but on another level, you're also going through this by yourself.
Alone, yeah.
And I would not be afraid to go stay at a lovely little hotel in the desert.
Totally.
Or
meditate
whatever it
a
is.
Little, enjoy the beach, go to Tel
Aviv. Let me tell
you
this, when all of this is in the past and it feels so raw right now, when it's all in the past and the baby arrives in what, from the stalk or however it gets there.
Sure.
You'll never spend another minute by yourself again.
Yep.
Literally never, ever.
That's true. You're in this
all
for
of
life.
These little ideas we give people about processing and taking time and taking a walk and listening to a podcast, that will never be your life again.
Ever.
So go now.
And honestly,
and give yourself that. Go. I went to stay at a fabulous hotel. What was it? The Setai up in the Sea of Galilee. Okay. Go up to the Sea of Galilee, walk into the water, dunk yourself, walk back out. Have two cocktails and a gorgeous meal.
Take
and
a newspaper
back in the
and hop into the Dead Sea. Float around and read it.
Float around somewhere. Get truly.
Wipe the
float
mud
around.
All over,
get a massage. give your body the ability to heal a little bit and reset, because those hormones are going crazy and it takes weeks for that to reset. And then tell yourself, okay, if I've got the fortitude, the pump has been primed a little bit. Let's see what we can do here.
Go number two in a pool, you know?
We have to hang up. I have to go to Pilates.
That's it.
Now.
But Ronna, I hate to tell you, we have a cliffhanger to read. I hate to tell you all of that.
All right, then here's what we're going to do.
Ready. You tell me.
Well, I was going to make you read it like you made.
I am going to read it
last time. No, I mean, I was going to hang up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I can go ahead. Read the
cliffhanger. Are you sure? Because I know you've got, what's that? You have a tennis lesson or what's going on again?
Pilates.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, do you want to go? I can do this.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, then go.
All right, I'm going to.
Well, first of all, do you mind saying who you think should get the gift this week?
Okay.
We've got some options here.
Who
okay.
We got four people this week. The fada. I think the fada should get it.
Okay, fine. The person who lost her pregnancy, which is very sad. We have the gray tooth, and of course we have
it's a lot of winners.
And of course we have the, you know, I don't even know what to call it. The
Enmeshed
in a friendship.
Well, who do you think?
God, I truly don't know. I'm so mad at a couple of them.
You mad at the tooth? Who are you mad at?
I'm mad at tooth, and I'm mad at a meshed friend, even though I feel terribly for her.
Yeah.
So I would say this last letter we just wrote.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I guess any of them except Gray Tooth.
You know what? We once did. I wonder if it worked out. I'll have to ask Tony. We had a letter writer from Israel. The problem is with Israel is we can't send anybody anything.
Oh,
it takes forever
to
get there.
You're right.
But
okay.
We bought her a gift certificate to go down to Manta Ray in Tel Aviv by the water and to have a drink.
Because you can just send that over email, right? Probably.
I wonder if it worked out. I'll have to ask Tony.
Yeah.
We're going to find something. It's either going to be a rooftop. We have to find out where she lives. It's either going to be the rooftop drink in Jerusalem. Or
great.
It's going to be, you know what? I don't care whether you're religious or you're not religious. You brought that up in the letter. We didn't.
Yeah.
We're going to see if we can buy you a gift certificate for a rooftop drink in Jerusalem. And on that same day, I want you to go to the wall, assuming everything is kosher at that moment, safe, etc. And I want you to shove your two letters in, or your one letter, or your note to whoever. Doesn't have
or a gray tooth if you have a
whoever it is.
Yeah,
shove one in for her while you're at it. The prayer that her husband agrees to the gray tooth.
That's right.
Actually, you probably should say a prayer for everybody while you're
everyone
at the
who we honestly today.
But shove your letter in, whatever your letter is. It doesn't have to be to whoever.
Yeah,
it just has to be a wish.
Yeah.
Shove it in the wall and or a feeling or a thought or whatever it is. Go have that rooftop drink afterwards, or the other way around. Write it while you're on the rooftop drink. But I'd probably have the drink afterwards and let it marinate.
I'm with you. I think the drink second.
And understand while you sit there, enjoy this drink because I'm not going to have another one for a while until you become
I think that's a
wine mommy like Jesse Klein. We said she's a wine mommy.
I think that's beautiful.
And set a course for adventure. Your mind's on a new romance.
Mm-hmm.
The love boat.
Absolutely. And if Carol Channing and Betty White happen to be doing a two-person song and dance, lucky you.
All right, dear. I'm leaving you to do the cliffhanger. I'll tell you what.
Happen.
This is another good one. I had a cliffhanger so good the last time when I read it that I didn't even finish reading it because I said, if you haven't heard enough, if you haven't heard enough to join us at this point, you're never joining us. So forget it.
I might do an Amazon wish list instead of the cliffhanger, just so you know.
Do whatever you want to do. This is your time. This is your space.
Thank you,
space.
Ronna. I will. I hope you have a wonderful day at Pilates.
Thank you. I love you for doing this for me, but I love you anyway.
I love you more than anything.
And I really hope a letter writer will listen to us. I just do.
Me too.
All of them for that.
Me too.
Tough
today was
love,
a banner.
Sometimes it's necessary.
Banner day.
All right, dear.
I love you, Ronna.
Kiss, kiss for me.
Kiss,
here
kiss.
Goes, Brian.
Ronna's gone. For good. Just kidding. Okay, here's the cliffhanger. This is supposed to be a really good one. I haven't read it yet, but, you know, All I can tell you it is it has something to do with the menage. Okay, if you get my drift, S-E-C-K-S, right? Wink. Dearest Ron and Brian, I write to you with a quandary of the heart. And though I'll try to keep it brief, I've been known to sport a G-string when I'm feeling extra cheeky. What? My boyfriend of 4 years and I have had a really beautiful relationship with recent highlights, including the purchase of a home, good for you, and the building of a bucolic, friend-filled life here in Boston. That is, until a couple weeks ago. Around June 2021, we decided to open up our relationship. After a few years together and the weathering of the pandemic, we saw this as a chance to explore a different dynamic, and it actually pushed us to be better communicators and really examine what we need in our relationship. That's great. It was all going smooth. I won't get into the specifics of our rules. Oh, but you're dying to. But it was pretty much, let's just hook up with other people once in a while, nothing deeper than surface level, 9 months of growth and explorations. Cue the entry of the masked tormentor. Call him Derek. How dare you? Derek is in the military and is straight acting, to say the least. See, bragging about guns and, I never say this word, bragging about guns and pussy as Gaga blasts through the speakers at the gay bar. Without discussing it with me, my boyfriend and this man rented a hotel room, and both before and after their romp got drinks together. We all then met up. I was not eager to meet this guy, but was already uncomfortable with the situation and needed to put out my feelers. We went to the club with a group of friends, but I left early, assuming my boyfriend would Uber home. My boyfriend then stayed the night with this man and, to add insult to injury, got brunch with him the next morning in one of our frequent date spots. None of this is even close to what we agreed upon in becoming open. Afterwards, I communicated that I would not like my boyfriend to see this man anymore. He then hung out with him the next Saturday. Oh, this is like turning my stomach. I then decided to leave town to visit my parents for 9 days and get some space to reflect and let my absence make his heart grow fonder. While I was out of town, they hung out again. Sadly, they aren't even liaising. They're doing things like getting tea or going for walks. I've seen texts from my boyfriend saying, I can't stop thinking about you. And even after telling this man himself that they are both overstepping, it seems neither will listen to how hurt I am, or simply don't even care. So friends, have I proved the straights right in that open relationships are inherently messy? Oh, this is when it gets Carrie Bradshaw, I like this part. Or have I simply exposed an inevitable fissure in my relationship that would have reared its head regardless? I really want to work through this with my boyfriend, but after 3 instances of this, I'm tempted to throw him to the closeted army brat and let him live out his very emotionally stunted fantasy. It's really done a number on my self-esteem. By the way, I just went through something similar. I'm speaking as Brian, and it fucking sucked, and I understand. It's really done a number on my self-esteem. I'm very much a happy gay man, but in some weird way, knowing that all of my self-work throughout the years may not scratch the itch of my boyfriend's needs, even if those needs are emerging from a place of self-loathing, is very hard and lonely pill to swallow. Thank you so much for all your generosity. XX, menage a blah. I'm very much not sure if submitting through the messages is the way to go. Let me know if email is easier. Also, if you need to change the name Derek, please feel free. I find Ron is joking with Brian about Derek to be hilarious. Excuse me. But also understand if that is not kosher for a letter. Haha, it's absolutely fine. In a follow-up message, also realizing army brat isn't a nice thing to say. So if this does get chosen, feel free to see army boy. You know what? I'm not changing anything I said. I said what I said. Listen, stay tuned next week. For this week's Patreons to hear the answer to this menage a blah question, which I think will be totally fascinating. Also, I say arsocial.club. Rana says arsocialclub.com to get in on the hotly anticipated cocktail club, where we have a monthly kiki to discuss the drinks. And by the way, as Rana said, you're not getting pre-mixed drinks. You are getting all the ingredients for a wonderful cocktail that we will make with Connor and discuss everything. arsocial.club or arsocialclub.com, depending on whose side you're on. And we'll see you next week. Hug, hug.
Rana here, letting everyone know that the AI Social Club is now accepting members for July. You can sign up until July 1st at aisocialclub.com or aisocial.club, if you're Brian, pardon me. And membership is now open. June is closed, of course. The boxes are shipping ASAP. We absolutely can't wait to share this experience with all of you. So just remember, that's our fabulous cocktail box that comes once a month and our incredible members-only Kiki, where we mix and we learn and Connor from Fiasco absolutely enlightens all of us on our fabulous bespoke choice. Can't wait to see you at the club.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.